Good evening, everybody. You're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here this week on Monday. My apologies. We are a little bit later than usual. You know, normally we are 7 o'clock sharp every night. And it's so important to me that it's 7 o'clock sharp, not a moment later. We're a little bit later than normal, and I do apologize, but we have some last-minute intel flooding in, and of course, I just posted on my Twitter timeline a video, I think it's my pinned tweet, and a quick thread trying to debunk some of the smears against me this weekend. So I do apologize for being late, but it's going to be a great show, so it'll all be worth it in the end. You had to wait an extra couple of minutes. It's okay, everybody's going to be fine, and it's worth the wait. We've got a big show, and we are excited to come back. This is episode 501. Last week, and it's interesting, you know, last week I said the Groiper Wars are over for now. You know, phase one of the Groiper War was completed last Thursday with our stop at the University of Houston, ending Charlie Kirk's Culture War Tour. And so while there are ongoing events, I think Michael Knowles has a YAF event tonight in Kentucky. There's some other events this week and next week with Daily Wire. While we still plan on attending some of those, we're trying to wind it down a little bit. The main focus was Turning Point USA. But here we are again tonight. If you notice, the title of this show does still bear the moniker, does still bear the name Groiper Wars. And that is because even in spite of phase one ending last week, we have been dragged back in. You know, it's sort of like, you know, what is the old quote? Just when do you think you're out? They drag me back in, right? So we're back in. We're back in the Groiper Wars tonight with another show. And tonight we're going to have to air some dirty laundry, so to speak. If you've been paying attention to my Twitter this weekend, it has just been insane. I thought last week was going to be a nice send-off. We had our last event on Thursday, total victory, total Groiper victory. On Friday, we had a very wholesome, very nice celebration of 500 episodes of America First. And I thought tonight we would do news. I thought tonight we would go back to the normal format. But this weekend, Conservative Inc. and the establishment and all these hacks and shills had other plans. And so last night, when I was getting ready to go see Joker for the seventh time to celebrate it crossing the $1 billion revenue threshold, I start to see tweets all over my timeline disavowing and condemning me. And I know that's been happening for the past like 3 or 4 weeks, but last night it was obviously coordinated, concerted. It was across the board. YAF, National Review, Daily Wire, Human Events, all these big guys. They found a new clip. Oh, a new shocking clip. You know, what they've been running with so far as these Groiper Wars have gone on. Now, mind you, remember, what are the Groiper Wars? It's important to acknowledge what it is. Charlie Kirk hosts a Q&A. Q&A stands for question and answer. It's open to the public, specifically college students, conservatives. We are sending people to ask questions in the Q&A. About conservatism. So this is the big problem, right? It's caused such a stir, such a controversy. This is the origin of all of this kvetching, all of this, smearing and hit job and doxing and everything. Is we're sending college students who support Trump and are Christian to ask questions in the Q&A about the issues, about immigration, all of this. Never forget that's the origin of all of this. In response to our inquiry, it might be a coordinated inquiry, but it's an innocent inquiry, honest conversation nonetheless. What they have done is they've tried to single me out and hold me up as this villain. Well, these guys are asking questions about legal immigration. Well, don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to the fact that Charlie Kirk supports the same mass immigration policy as Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and all these characters, stapling green cards to diplomas. He supports the F-1 visa program and the EB-5 visa program, and all his position on immigration is more radical than Silicon Valley. Pay no attention to that. Pay no attention to the slavish support for Israel. Pay no attention to Charlie Kirk's promotion of transgenderism, gender ideology, and homosexuality. Pay no attention to those questions because, well, the leader of the people asking those questions is Nick Fuentes. And 1 year ago, he said something that was not politically correct. 1 year ago, he made a joke about cookies, the infamous joke, and that makes him a Holocaust denier. So the Groypers are nothing more than the alt-right, and they're Holocaust deniers, and they're all anti-Semites, and they're all white supremacists, because this guy who does this show said one joke one time a year ago, right? So that's the context of what we're talking about. But this weekend, they had a new clip. This weekend, their new clip was me, I think from a much more recent show, where I said that we were better off with segregation. Which, by the way, is true. You know, for all these clips they're going to throw up at me, I am never going to take anything back. I am never going to apologize. I'm never going to say I regret saying anything. What I said in the cookie whatever, you know, was ironic, tongue-in-cheek, and what I said about Jim Crow was true. You know, in the clip in question, which was tweeted out by Guy Benson and a few others, I said something to the effect that, and again, here's another area where it's tongue-in-cheek. I said, oh, you know, you had to drink, because we all know during segregation, there's that one famous picture where there's the good water fountain and the not-so-good water fountain. There's the white fountain, there's the colored fountain. I said, oh, you know, you had to drink out of another water fountain. Big deal, get over it, grow up. And that's tongue-in-cheek, but there's also some truth in that, obviously. You know, people that are still complaining about racism or using racism to explain away disparities as something that's causal is absurd, you know? And that was the spirit of what I'm saying. Did I say it in a way that's not tasteful? Nick Fuentes doesn't acknowledge the horrors of Jim Crow. Oh, okay, you know, cry me a river. And then I said people are better off under segregation, which even Candace Owens acknowledges is true. And she worked for Turning Point USA. She said the same thing. Black families were better off under segregation. And Thomas Sowell admits this. All the major conservative pundits say, you know, prior to the Great Society, everybody was doing great. And that's true. But so anyway, here's the point of this show. So I see all of this stuff happening. And there was also another development pertaining to Michelle Malkin, which I'll get into in a moment. But all of this has been stirred up. The full media hit job has commenced. And now everybody's coming after me and Michelle Malkin for, in some sense, defending me or at the very least defending my right to speak. So all this huge storm has come down on me across the board. You know, it's Guy Benson, it's David French, it's Charlie Kirk, Benny Johnson, Cassie Dillon, Will Chamberlain. You know, so many people, I don't even think I saw all the different attacks on me yesterday. And again, in a very coordinated fashion. I want to point out that, you know, up until 3 weeks ago, these people pretended that they had never heard of me. So going off of what they say, which is not true, but going off of what they say, up until 2 to 3 weeks ago, none of these people had ever even heard of me. They'd never heard of me. They had never seen my show. They had never seen my streams. They don't know what I'm about. They don't know what my ideology is. They, in some cases, don't even know how old I am. I saw some reports where they're like, 22-year-old Nick Fuentes. It's like, we're supposed to trust what you say about my views. You don't even know how old I am. I'm 21, actually. I'm 21 and a quarter, actually. But all this is to say, think about the smear. Think about the hit job. All these people who don't know who I am, and maybe they didn't, in a lot of cases, know who I was until 3 weeks or a month ago, right? Some of the clips that they're posting aren't even available online. You know, and we'll get into why a lot of it's disingenuous and dishonest, but first I just want to look at it from a very logistical point of view. Logistics, the details, is so everything. Think about it in this way before we get into some of the more obvious things, you know, the hypocrisy, the left-wing tactics, the guilt by association thing, how Michelle Malkin plays into all this. So all of that on a back burner for the moment. Think about it logistically. These clips aren't even available online. The cookie joke, I think, might have been from Right Wing Watch, but a lot of these statements that they're pulling are from videos that are private. What does that tell you? You know, when Ben Shapiro did his speech at Stanford 2 weeks ago, he was quoting tweets that had been deleted. He was quoting videos that are no longer on my YouTube channel. He was quoting Facebook posts that are private. How do they get all these things? Think about it logistically. How do they get these things? You know what happened. Somebody, and I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's a Turning Point person or a YAF person. Maybe it's Jared Holt of Right Wing Watch. Somebody is watching my content with great interest and has been watching it for years. They would have to, Because these videos have been private for a long time. You know, some of these videos are years old. They've been private for years. So somebody's been watching my career and my content with great interest. And they've been watching and they've been waiting in the shadows, downloading videos, downloading clips, and they've been storing them away for a rainy day, storing them away for the right occasion. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us two things. Number one, that I'm on their radar. Number two, that they are watching, they feel threatened by what's happening. As small as I am, you know, they say, oh, he's insignificant, he's irrelevant, he's doing a YouTube show in front of a webcam, he's in the basement, whatever. Well, in spite of all that, I mean, they're saving it for a reason. They're storing it away just in case, you know, Nick Fuentes is rising, like Drudge Report says, right? And then they've saved them all to release at a timely, in a timely fashion when something like this happens. So then they can send it to all the influencers. You know, for example, Guy Benson tweeted out this Jim Crow video. Do you think Guy Benson clipped that himself? Where do you think he got that? Well, somebody sent it to him. You know, where do you think all these people got the cookie clip and all these other things? Somebody's sending these to all the influencers. What happened this weekend is they said, and trust me when I say this, Turning Point USA is crumbling. What we're doing is working. Charlie Kirk is afraid. The donors are afraid. The leadership is afraid. The students are revolting. You see this. I get emails almost every day from Turning Point people saying, I'm with you. We are either subverting or we're working on dissolving our chapter. So this weekend was DEFCON 1. It was, you know, we got to get all the brand ambassadors out there, scramble all the influencers. Here's the clips. Here's the posts. I'm sure there's more to come. And I'm sure it's only going to get more dishonest. It's only going to get more desperate and more ridiculous as time goes on. You know, now they're clipping things from my show. I'm sure they're going to just move to outright fabrication, right, in the next couple of weeks because it's not working. But think about it. This is what's going on. Is this an honest way to conduct oneself? Is this an honest thing? If people are really so concerned about, you know, me and my views and so on, are they just sort of putting all these clips in their pocket and saving them for a rainy day? Or is this obviously a political hit job, right? Moreover, if it's not they themselves who are clipping these things or downloading them, it's Jared Holt of Right Wing Watch, or it's Will Sommers of Daily Beast, or one of these characters, Matthias from Huffington Post, in which case they are directly working with the left. You know, Jared Holt works for Right Wing Watch. Right Wing Watch is a project for People for the American Way. People for the American Way is, you guessed it, funded almost entirely by George Soros. And I know the Soros thing gets thrown around a lot, but all this is to say, you've got directly moving up the chain of command connection from these journalists. These are not run-of-the-mill Democrats. These are hardcore progressives, Antifa. They want to kill us. They want us dead, who are saving these things. And Charlie Kirk is working with them. You know, it was a dox that came out 3 weeks ago. This fake dox was floating around of me. And in the introduction to this long article about all my personal information was a little blurb. An Antifa blog published this. It said, we could not have published this without the help of Turning Point USA. Well, I think that gets a lot of credence as of this weekend, because clearly there is some collaboration. So either they're saving all this stuff, and it's obviously a very malicious and sinister and dark political hit job, naked political hit job, or they're working with the left. Either way, it's not really great, right? But we're going to dive into all of this. You might have seen the battle on Twitter this week, and if not, you can go check it out. It really is all hands on deck going after me. And like I said on Twitter last night, I was also on InfoWars this afternoon with Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer on The War Room, which is a great program. I'll actually be back on The Alex Jones Show tomorrow at 1 o'clock Central, so be on the lookout for that. But as I was saying on Twitter last night, as I said on InfoWars this afternoon, these are not the actions. This is not the strategy of an organization which is confident. You know, think about who we're dealing with here. It's National Review, Young America's Foundation, Turning Point USA. These are some of the biggest conservative institutions, most well-funded in the country. YAF has been around forever. National Review, obviously, has been around for as long as conservatism has been around, basically. Turning Point USA has got the biggest reach out of all of them. All three of them are working in concert, scrambling together, coordinated, to show everybody a 10-second clip for my show where I say, you had to drink out of a different water fountain. Get over it. And clutching their pearls and the sanctimony. Isn't he so disgusting? Isn't he so terrible? And scrambling all the ambassadors. Why is this happening? They are desperate. Their organization, their infrastructure is dying. People realize they're not conservative. Now, there's another reason. And to move on to where Michelle Malkin comes into all of this, First of all, I want to say Michelle Malkin is the real deal. This whole year, I have been pleading, I have been begging somebody, anybody who's got a little juice, you know, a little clout, a little bit of money, somebody who's been around the block, to join our struggle. Because what we're doing is right, obviously. It wouldn't be working if we weren't telling the truth. It wouldn't be working if this was not resonating with Trump supporters and Christians and young people, right? So I was saying, please, anybody, you know, we say all the same things that you do. We say all the same things that some of these prominent, not going to name any names, but prominent pundits talk about with regards to demographic change and taxes going blue and all these things. And yet nobody wants to throw in. Everybody still wants to play it safe and all that. So thank God, Michelle Malkin, when I say she's the real deal, what I mean is this. She is America first. She's been fighting against legal immigration, some of this perfidious Common Core education stuff. She is the real deal. She's intelligent. She knows it all about all the issues. She was in the Tea Party movement. She's been part of this insurgent struggle against the establishment forever. You know, she was the gate crasher, you know, before we were. She's the America first sort of veteran. So she's come on the scene very explicitly saying that what we're doing on the college campuses, she's been saying that we're entitled to ask these questions and that they deserve answers. Instead of participating in the smear against me, she has said that I'm actually a smart guy and, you know, that I'm a rising leader in this new right wing. She said that she is passing the torch to the next generation of America Firsters. Now, that doesn't mean that she endorses everything we've ever said, of course. I think there are areas of disagreement. Do you know anybody where there are not areas of disagreement? Do you know anybody that you would endorse everything they've ever said? Of course not. But all she has said is that our inquiry into Conservative Inc. and what we're trying to do is noble, it's worthwhile, and at the bare minimum, we deserve to get our questions asked, and they deserve answers, right? Because of this, all the same forces that have been going after me for the past 3 weeks have now honed in on Michelle Malkin. She gave a speech last week at UCLA, and I encourage everybody to read it. It's on our Twitter timeline. The transcript has been posted. It is a masterpiece. It talks about immigration. It talks about the gatekeepers. It talks about the real struggle that's happening, and it is brilliant. It's funny. It's witty. I mean, she really is a talent. She is the real deal. When I say that, I mean in every sense of the word. So she does a speech at UCLA where she calls out Ben Shapiro and she calls out Kimberly Guilfoyle. And she says, you know what? It's kind of creepy that people like Ben Shapiro are talking about the Groypers and saying they're masturbating in their basements. She said, you know, that's creepy. It's defensive. All that. She said, you know, Kimberly Guilfoyle, former, you know, co-host or rather former colleague on Fox News, says that we can't get dates. Michelle Malkin says, you know, I have two sons who post memes and do all this kind of thing. And it's very weird. It's very wrong for an adult to emasculate and attack college kids on that basis, you know, especially given the climate with how the left treats us and so on. She calls them out and says, you know what? People like Charlie Kirk are promoting bad ideas on mass immigration. In response to this speech, which I think can be seen as like a seminal moment for our movement, right? In the sense that you look at somebody like Ronald Reagan. He gave this speech back in 1964 at the Republican National Convention for Barry Goldwater, and the speech was called The Time for Choosing. It is called, in conservative circles, the speech. The speech. It cast such a long shadow because they saw that it's like the defining moment, the watershed moment of their movement. It defines this fusionist Reagan vision. I think in a similar sense, we could point to some of my shows in the past few weeks, or certainly this Michelle Malkin speech last week, as that, I mean, it was that big of a groundbreaking moment when somebody with her kind of clout said, you know what, we're sick of the gatekeepers. They are not America first. Their tactics are disgusting, and we're going to do the right thing. It was that big of a deal. In response to this, they have marshaled in, I think, a equivalent response from YAF, Turning Point USA, all these people to come down on Michelle Malkin for daring to speak up, for daring to question these organizations. They fired her from YAF immediately. She's been scrubbed from the website. She won't get any more speeches from YAF. And now the latest attack on me is actually, in a way, an attack on Malkin. You know, they come out with these new clips and these new tapes and all this. They've already done that to me. It's not working. It's never going to work because the people who watch my show are immune to that. The people who watch my show are inoculated against all these tricks and all these tactics. But they're using it now against Michelle Malkin to say, well, if Nick Fuentes says all these things and his supporters won't leave him, well, Michelle Malkin is now supporting the Holocaust denier, the white supremacy, all these BS slurs. And so all of this, you know, you might have seen Matt Walsh put out a tweet, and I don't take anything back that I've said about him, by the way. He said, oh, Michelle Malkin, Nick Fuentes has called me X, Y, and Z. Do you disavow him for saying, you know, all these different things? Do you disavow Nick Fuentes? And so now the game is this. Michelle Malkin is faced with two choices. She can either concede and do the disavowal. I disavow Nick Fuentes. I disavow the Groypers, right? And maybe she will be allowed to reintegrate back into this polite society. She can go back to the cocktail parties. No, I don't think she was there to begin with. I don't say that like that. But you know what I'm talking about. Then they will cease the attack. They will cease the slander. And they'll say, oh, you know, she made a couple of mistakes, but she owned up to it and so on. So she either disavows and all that, or they're going to make an example out of her. They are telling everybody, if you don't disavow, if you're one of these veteran people, if you sell books and you're on Fox News and all this, if you're even sympathetic, remotely sympathetic to what is happening with Nick Fuentes, the same fate. You will have the same fate as Michelle Malkin. You will be smeared by everybody in Conservative Inc. You will be lumped in with the worst of the worst. It'll be totally dishonest. It'll be all lies. It might not even make sense. And it obviously doesn't with Michelle Malkin. They say Malkin supports anti-Semite racist. It's like she's married to somebody who's Jewish. She's pro-Israel. And she's not white herself. They say she's a white nationalist. How does that even work? It's like when they call me a white nationalist. I'm not even 100% white. You know, the same people that call me that say, oh, his name's Fuentes. Somebody should tell him he won't be in the ethnostate. I've never supported that. It wouldn't make any sense, right? But so they're trying to communicate, even if it doesn't make any sense, it might be lies, but we've got the clout, we're the big time, we say what's conservative and what's not, we decide who's in the club and who isn't. You're either with us, or you're on the outside, and you get fired, and you don't get contracts, you don't get book deals, and you get lumped in with the worst of the worst, and this is what happens to you. It's an intimidation tactic. And understand, the disavowal doesn't mean anything, right? Disavowal means nothing. It is an act of submission. It is an act of genuflection towards Washington, D.C. Everybody knows what everybody else believes. Nobody needs to go up and say, nobody believes, for example, that Michelle Malkin is a Holocaust denier. Nobody believes that Michelle Malkin is on board with everything I've ever said on my show. Everybody understands perfectly well the overlap that Michelle Malkin has been a fighter for America First on immigration, and so are we. So everybody is well aware of that. It's not about a disavowal. That doesn't contribute any information. Nobody's going to say, oh, well, that cleared it up for me. All this is to say is, I am upholding and I am adhering to, I am acknowledging that these people control the system. I am acknowledging, I am submitting, and I am saying, yes, you control who's in Conservative Inc. You get to control who gets the money and who doesn't. I acknowledge this. I acknowledge that Nick Fuentes is on the blacklist. I will not try to bring him back into the club. I will not try to sneak him back inside. And I will remain safely. That is what they're going for. That's all that this means. It's the same thing with Donald Trump. Oh, do you disavow this? Do you disavow this? This is why we say it so much on the show. Oh, yeah, I disavow. I disavow. Because it's a joke. We all know what that means. But, you know, I see all this going on. I see the slander against me. I see the guilt by association tactics against Michelle Malkin. And of course, we know what this is about. It's the same left-wing smear tactics. These are literally communist tactics, SPLC, ADL tactics. In some cases, these people are peddling lies that are more outrageous than the SPLC, more outrageous than our enemies. You know, Charlie Kirk, for example, and I don't want to spend too much time on this. I'm not trying to rehabilitate, identify Yevropa, you know, the menace to society. But it's worth mentioning that Charlie Kirk said, Patrick Casey is a neo-Nazi trying to take over the government. Not even the SPLC smears us that badly. Not even the ADL smears us that badly. So you've got the two organizations, which are synonymous with dishonest smears, phony accusations of white supremacy, all this. They are not even as extreme and ludicrous and ridiculous as Charlie Kirk hysterically lashing out at us. Right? So that's something to keep in mind. We all know that that's going on. And of course, intrinsic in this is the hypocrisy. You know, we expect that from the ADL. We expect that from the SPLC. Charlie Kirk's whole deal is free speech, free expression, you know, engaging with other people. The answer to bad speech is more speech. This kind of thing. They are the ones going out and saying they reject guilt by association. They are the ones going out and saying they reject all these same left-wing smears until they engage in them. Until they get asked a bad question, their donors start to pull out, and they see somebody that has to be character assassinated, silenced, deplatformed, all the rest. So I see all this going on, and I say, why don't we give them a taste of their own medicine? I saw the attacks last night, and it was just so boring. Why should they have all the fun? So tonight, I thought we would go through and we'd look at some of the people. We'll take a very close look at some of the people, not all of them. Some of them we're saving the best for last. So tonight, we're reading out all this. Notably, there'll be one notable exception, Charlie Kirk, and he'll get his. He'll get his exposure, but not tonight, but not tonight. We don't want to spoil it. It's a Monday. You know, I used to watch WWE in my day. They would never have the championship wrestling match. You know, professional wrestling is WWE. They would never have the championship match on Monday Night Raw, right? They would never have it on the shows. We need a pay-per-view event to release some of the big things that are coming out. So, you know, I indicated on Alex Jones's show today, I said, you know, Charlie Kirk isn't open about everything that he's involved in or anything. So that all might come later. But tonight we're going to take a pretty cursory look at some of these people that are out to get us. They're not so clean themselves. In some cases, we find hypocrisies. In some cases, we find outright views that are worse than anything they've accused me or Malkin or anybody else of. So we're going to start to take a look. We'll break down at an organizational level, also at an individual level, some of the dirt. And I have to say, it's so funny. I've heard from so many different people the panic that is going on. People are frantically texting, who is he going to expose? What is he going to say? What is he going to do tomorrow? It's so funny to me, and here's why it's funny. Those tactics work on us. Rather, they do not work on us, because we have nothing left to lose. I don't take money from donors. I don't take money from a think tank. I am my own boss. You know, I said this like 4 weeks ago. Charlie Kirk is going to post a video where I say, when I'm in high school, that I would support Trump, right? Or they're going to post this cookie video. What's the end game? What's the point? What's going to happen? Are they going to call my boss? Hello. I want to speak to the boss of America First with Nicholas J. Fuentes. Hello, this is the boss of America First with Nicholas J. Fuentes speaking. It's me, Nicholas J. Fuentes. What's the problem? Right? So I understand what they hope to achieve, but when it comes to them, well, they've built their whole reputation. They've staked their whole careers on this free speech, free expression, and also very precariously atop this moral high ground that they've constructed, that nobody can ever say anything racist. Nobody can go off script. Nobody can go off the reservation. You know, like in my case, think about it. They say that I'm a Holocaust denier based on what? Because I made a joke 1 year ago, one time. My show is about immigration. I've done 1,000 hours of content over, you know, 3 or 4 years. And the show is largely about demographics, immigration, race relations, culture, foreign relations, things like that. One clip, 30-second clip where I make a joke. I read a super chat where somebody suggests a joke. I do a joke. I think Norm MacDonald has done this joke before. And that makes me a Holocaust denier. Never mind the fact that I've said, I think, you know, many, many times in public, I said it on Amazing Lucas, I said it on Elijah Schaefer, I said it on my own show, I told this to The Hill, to The Washington Post. I have never denied the Holocaust. I would not use that language. I have never said, I deny the Holocaust. That has never happened. That is never something I've said. That is never something I've engaged in. But they call me that anyway, right? Because I made a joke about it one time, okay, that's what you are. I'm not a podcaster, I'm not a conservative, I'm not a Catholic, I'm not, you know, all the things that I am, you're the Holocaust denier. Because of one clip, one time, a year ago, that has been totally misconstrued. You understand this. So if that's the standard, well then let's go through and let's read everything that everybody's ever said. And, you know, we'll find Matt Walsh and we'll find Guy Benson and all these people, and we'll make them out to be, you know, the one thing that we heard a rumor, the one thing where they said the wrong thing. And that's what they'll be known as if we're going to play that game. So we'll start. We'll start the Inquisition, the grand naming here. We'll start with Matt Walsh, who admittedly, you know what I said about Matt Walsh, besides the fact that he is, you know, hates his own people, besides the fact that he is an anti-white racist that hates white people, besides the fact that he is certainly, in a sense, not really a great Catholic if he's working for Ben Shapiro. You know, Vince James questioned him on this when he did one of his speaking engagements, and Matt Walsh said, oh, you can never work for somebody who's not Christian? He said, everybody who's not Christian denies the divinity of Christ. Well, you know, that's not exactly true. Muslims hold Jesus Christ in pretty high regard, and I'm sure atheists to some extent may hold Jesus Christ in high regard. It's different than Ben Shapiro said, you know, Jesus Christ deserved to get killed, right? And moreover, they're kind of in a specific industry where Ben Shapiro is a thought leader, a tastemaker in politics, you know, and in culture more broadly. So that's kind of an important thing. But in any case, he's done all that before. We have something a little bit more mild for him. Aside from all that, he's generally kind of conservative. He is Catholic. Aside from the anti-white racism, I kind of agree with him on some of the social issues. But this is just the kind of person that he is. You can pull up a number of anti-Trump tweets from him in 2016. This is only the most egregious. On January 26, 2016, he said, quote, "I will vote for the first candidate who promises to deport all Trump supporters." So this is the kind of guy we're talking about. And again, this is not like the biggest bombshell ever. I think him being anti-white is much worse. I think him, you know, doing some of the other activities is much worse. But among other anti-Trump tweets, he said in January, he will vote for the first candidate to deport all Trump supporters. The reason why this one is so important is because, again, it speaks to the mentality that goes on with these people. They say that we're hijacking the MAGA movement. This is what I saw from I think she's on Quillette. She's the editor for, what is it, Quillette? You know that paper, that online publication? She tweeted about me yesterday, "Oh, I'm just rebranding myself as a Trump supporter. I'm rebranding myself as a Christian." It's like, bitch, I've been a confirmed Catholic since I was 13. I've been a Trump supporter since March 2016 or April 2016. I was on the campaign. I voted for him. So in other words, I've been a Christian since I was baptized, since I was born. I've been a Trump supporter for years. How is it a rebrand? That has been the brand for years. These people are the ones hijacking it. You know, so if we're going to go around saying, "Oh, well, somebody said this, somebody said that," I would say me making a distasteful joke is probably not as bad as a grifter like Matt Walsh saying he wants to deport all Trump supporters, which he has a 90% approval rating in the country right now. That would mean all Republicans. But like I said, that's not the most egregious. The real dirt starts to hit with Cassie Dillon. And I thought we had heard the worst about Cassie Dillon when we saw her tattoo or, you know, some of these other things. But I found a really interesting story about Cassie, which has nothing to do with the fact that she's a traitor to America, and she definitely loves Israel more than America, and all this, and she's a liar, and she got me deplatformed, and she got me kicked out of CPAC. But she also hires some pretty interesting people. I'm sure maybe a lot of people haven't heard of this before. She actually hired somebody much worse than any of the Groypers, much worse than anything they even lie about us saying, you know? They've come up with this caricature of Nick Fuentes and other things. She's hired people much worse than that. She hired somebody for her website, Lone Conservative, which Lone Conservative is kind of problematic, and I think you'll see why after I read you this individual. She hired somebody named John Edgar Rust to build her website when she was running Lone Conservative. And I'll read you a little bit about John Edgar Rust from Raw Story. There was an article about him in Raw Story. The article is dated October 4th, 2017. It says, "John Edgar Rust has been arrested for making racially motivated threats against students at the historically black Howard University in Washington, D.C. According to WUSA-TV, the 26-year-old Rust, who was convicted in 2012 of, quote, indecent liberties with a child, by custodian and aggravated sexual battery, made threats against the lives of Howard students on the infamous 4chan message boards in 2015. So, mind you, he's also a child sex offender. You know, I hope you didn't miss that. It says he was convicted in 2012 of indecent liberties with a child by a custodian and aggravated sexual battery against a minor. So he's a sex offender against children. The article goes on. It says Rust made his post during a period of racial unrest at Missouri University. He said, quote, "I left MU yesterday because I couldn't put up with it anymore. I go home to Maryland and what do I see? The same old shit. Turn on the news and it's always the N-words causing trouble everywhere. So I've decided any N-word left at Howard University after 10 tomorrow will be the first to go. And any of those cheapskate N-words who try to get out using the metro will regret that choice real fast." He said, "It's not murder if they're black." That's John Edgar Rust who said this. Employee of Cassie Dillon, he built her website, Lone Conservative. And I'll tell you why I find that name so troubling, especially in the era of mass shootings, in the era of horrible terrorist attacks. Is it really such a great idea to call yourself a lone conservative? At least try to be subtle with the dog whistles. You know, they claim I'm dog whistling by saying, what, America first? How in any way could that, we want to put our country first? How could that possibly be misconstrued? Cassie Dillon's website is called Lone Conservative. Well, I think John Edgar Rust was preparing to be one of these lone conservatives, right? A lone wolf conservative. So, again, let's think about it. If Michelle Malkin says that I'm a new right leader and, you know, does a drive-by remark in her speech, a passing remark in her speech saying that I have a right to ask my questions, that means that Michelle Malkin backs a Holocaust denier, then I think it's safe to say that Cassie Dillon, you know, if she employs somebody that makes these kinds of threats, that talks like this and is a child sex offender, then I think Cassie Dillon should be known as, a sympathizer with pedophiles. I think Cassie Dillon is a child sex offender enabler. I think Cassie Dillon is an enabler of white terrorism. I don't think it would be safe to say white terrorism, but certainly white supremacy. I think Cassie Dillon is a supporter and a backer, a funder of white supremacy. You know, she must have been paying this guy or something. Maybe it was just a volunteer, but she was employing and enabling somebody who wanted to go out and kill black people simply because of the color of their skin. Also happened to be a sex offender. So again, if we're going to use that standard, if Michelle Malkin, if I'm a Holocaust denier for saying one thing, and Michelle Malkin is a Holocaust denier supporter because she makes a passing remark that I'm okay, well, if Cassie Dillon hires somebody who's a child sex offender, and by the way, all of this was before he was hired, mind you, all of this was before he was hired by Cassie Dillon. If Cassie Dillon hires a sex offender, hires somebody who says he's going to kill black people at Howard University for her website, to work for her, to build her website, well then, you know, Cassie Dillon is a supporter of terrorism. Cassie Dillon is a supporter of pedophilia and terrorism. Pedophile supporter and terrorism supporter, Cassie Dillon, if that's the standard, well, okay, let's play that way. Then we have Ben Shapiro, another Daily Wire hero. You know, this is not anything you haven't already heard before about Ben Shapiro, but it's worth pointing out. You know, 2 weeks ago, Ben Shapiro did a speech at Stanford University where he went through and he read every single thing I've ever said. Facebook posts, tweets, private conversations, secretly recorded, clips from my show, without mentioning my name one time. He read through all this stuff, defeated all kinds of straw man arguments from me. Ben Shapiro, who in 2003, in an op-ed titled Transfer is Not a Dirty Word, he called for the removal of Palestinians from Israeli-ruled Palestinian land and asserts that Arabs cannot come to peace with Israelis. He said in the article, quote, "Here is the bottom line. If you believe that the Jewish state has a right to exist, then you must allow Israel to transfer the Palestinians and the Israeli Arabs from Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and Israel proper." Now, do you know what that means? That means ethnic cleansing. So when he says transfer, that's a nice euphemism. That means ethnic cleansing. That means we need to ethnically cleanse Israel, Judea, Samaria, Gaza. He says it's an ugly solution, but it is the only solution. Some might say the final solution, right? Some might say the final solution, right, Ben? And it is far less ugly than the prospect of bloody conflict ad infinitum. When two populations are constantly enmeshed in conflict, it is insane to suggest that somehow deep-seated ideological change will miraculously occur, allowing the two sides to live together. Which, you know, that last part, I might sympathize with something like that. That might make a little bit of sense to me. I don't know about this ethnic cleansing business. He says, in the end, both right and left agree that a population separation is necessary. That does not mean Palestinian statehood, which will undoubtedly result in another Iran directly on Israel's borders. It means instead moving beyond utopianism and making mental peace with the fact that no solution will be permanent. So he wants a permanent solution, a final solution. Israel will have to protect its citizens and will have to continue to police Palestinian borders. Settlements are not the problem here. Removing settlements is not the solution. The problem is intractable. So in this article in 2003, Ben Shapiro calls for ethnic cleansing. He says that we should take all the Palestinians and forcibly remove them from their land, move them out of Israel. That is exactly what they're accusing me of. The only difference is I never said anything like that. They're accusing me of saying that I'm in favor of white ethnostate, I'm a white nationalist. Ben Shapiro is an ethnic Jewish nationalist. He is an ethnic nationalist, right? If Jews are white, and I think he maintains they are, then that makes him a white nationalist and a white supremacist. Here's the difference. I never said anything like that, but they're calling me that because, the things I say sound like that. The things I say are adjacent to that. Well, he actually said that in 2003, called for ethnic cleansing of Israel. Now, why does nobody call him on that? Because he wrote an article a few years ago where he says, I shouldn't have said that. I changed my mind. Does he go through and explain why he doesn't believe that anymore? Did he go through and say exactly how he came to view something? Or does he just say, it was dumb and I shouldn't have said that? Well, that's kind of interesting because, you know, I said about my quotes that I didn't mean that and all this, it was a joke and so on, and I still get called the same names. I've gone back and said, oh, I might not have said it that way, but, you know, whatever. Beyond that, I've never even said anything like that. I never get to live it down. Ben Shapiro, whenever the New York Times writes their glowing articles about Shapiro, calling him a free speech warrior and so on, they don't say Ben Shapiro, who in 2003 called for ethnic cleansing and denies being a, you know, Jewish supremacist, denies being a Jewish ethnic nationalist. They never say that. They never say, oh, well, he claims to deny it, but, you know, other statements say otherwise. They never say that. I also point out that Ben Shapiro is another terrorist supporter. This is also from... There's a press report about the Quebec mosque shooter in 2017. It says Ben Shapiro is one of the top Twitter feeds at the 2017 Quebec City mosque shooter, checked immediately prior to attacking the mosque, his feed being visited 93 times in the month preceding the shooting. So again, you know, I don't take these as my standard. I do not take these as my standard. If Ben Shapiro says he's not in favor of ethnic cleansing anymore, okay. I think it's a little bit... interesting how you came to that, you know, sudden epiphany. It's like, well, you made a pretty strong case for it in 2003. Then the billionaire Wilkes family came and offered to bankroll your career and suddenly you changed your mind. I would say, I don't know if I believe that, but okay, you say that, fine. And I would also say that if you have a terrorist that, you know, checks out your timeline, I wouldn't necessarily say that that makes you a terrorist supporter. But if, again, if this is the standard, if Michelle Malkin says that she likes my content or whatever, and that makes her a Holocaust denier, then how does somebody shooting up a mosque, checking Ben Shapiro's Twitter timeline, not make him somebody that inspires terrorism? It doesn't. National Review is our next exposure. You know, all these National Review writers like David French and some other, like Dan McLaughlin, I think is an NRO writer, and Will Nardi, this goofball, eternal simp, has gone after me. I'll go into some of the writers, but before that, I want to go into the magazine itself. National Review wants to posture and say, oh, we're against racism. David French works for National Review. David French says, I'm a white supremacist. You know, I think Guy Benson is involved with them. I'm this terrible guy, right? National Review does not have a great past. Here's some quotes from this expose on them that was done a couple of years ago. It says, quote, in his 2007 book, The Conservative Ascendancy, historian Donald Critchlow documents that from the founding of the magazine in 1955, the editors of National Review, quote, opposed federal involvement in enforcing equal access to public accommodations and protecting black voting rights in the South. Though the National Review, quote, based their opposition on constitutional grounds and conservative resistance to radical social change, Critchlow explains that, quote, their rhetoric overstepped the bounds of civility and was racially offensive, which we'll get into that in a moment. But understand, the founders of National Review supported Jim Crow, supported segregation. Never mind their reasoning. You know, they say, oh, well, based on constitutional grounds. If the standard is, you know, you say one thing and it doesn't matter the context, it doesn't matter what was said, it doesn't matter the justification, you know, like what happened with me this weekend. Guy Benson, all these guys saying, well, he said Jim Crow, we were better off. And that means he supports Jim Crow. You know, Michael Knowles, who's committing a mortal sin of calumny, says Nick Fuentes is a Jim Crow supporter because, you know, I said one time that people are better off under the system. So if context doesn't matter, motive doesn't matter, reasoning, we just have the 30-second soundbite. Well, let's read some of the things National Review said that employs David French and a lot of these people. A lot of these people write for National Review or they're friends of National Review. Critchlow points to an unsigned March 1960 editorial that announces, quote, in the Deep South, the Negroes are, by comparison with whites, retarded. The magazine used this assertion as justification for why, quote, leadership in the South then quite properly rests in white hands. In 1960, they said this. They said that Negroes are retarded and that white people should lead the South. This is the National Review. This is who employs David French. So again, it was a different time, sure. And maybe you could evaluate the arguments on their merits. But if the standard is, well, you say one thing one time and your life is over, okay, let's read a little more. Publishing material arguing for the superiority of white people wasn't out of character for National Review. An infamous 1957 editorial, often attributed to the National Review founder William F. Buckley, argued that the, quote, white community was entitled to oppose measures that sought to increase enfranchisement among Southern blacks because, quote, for the time being, it is the advanced race. Would you say that's a white supremacist argument? That the whites are the advanced race? And that's William F. Buckley, the founder of National Review. This is who they worship. This is who they work for. In an editorial for National Review published in September 1965, Dr. Will Herberg pinned blame for the Watts riots on Martin Luther King and his associates. According to Herberg, King and other civil rights leaders' promotion of civil disobedience, though done with the, quote, best intentions, had nonetheless taught, quote, hundreds of thousands of Negroes it is perfectly all right to break the law and defy constitute authority if you are a Negro with a grievance. They say Martin Luther King, shifting gears a little bit here. So besides the fact that National Review actually supports Jim Crow, actually believes in white supremacy and all that, if that's the game we're going to play, David French, who works for National Review, said things more recently that I think might be a little bit worse. He wrote an article that the headline is, "Viewpoint Neutrality Protects Both Drag Queens and Millions of American Christians." He's writing about Drag Queen Story Hour for children in public libraries. This is September 19th, 2019. He writes, quote, "My position is simple. I don't like drag queen reading hours. But," as if there needs to be a but, "I also want to preserve for all Americans the First Amendment protected right of viewpoint neutral access to public facilities when those facilities are opened up for public use. I don't want the government dispensing access on the basis of its preferred messages or its preferred speakers. Handle bad speech with better speech. Counter bad speakers in the marketplace of ideas, not through the heavy hand of government censorship." So in other words, when drag queens are reading to your children, when drag queens are out there exposing their genitals, which has been seen in a number of cases, to children under the age of 12, you know, it's 6-year-olds, in some cases as young as 3, Drag Queen Story Hour at public libraries, David French says, huh, this is a constitutional matter. The way you counteract that is with better speech. So I presume when we see this going on in our local libraries, how we're supposed to respond is to, book the next available slot at the public library and do a seminar on why this is bad. So we'll go to the public library maybe 15 minutes before our slot. I'll book the public library for 3:00. You know, the drag queen is scheduled from 2 to 3:00 for their story hour. I'll go 15 minutes before 3, I'll go 2:45. I'll say, "Hello, drag queen, indoctrinating young people, exposing your genitals, doing dances to degenerate songs about gay sex and gay bars." I'll say, "Hello, drag queen, nice to meet you. You know, I may disagree with what you say, but I defend to the death your right to do it in a public library in front of 6-year-olds. Thank you for showing your genitals to all these children. The Constitution protects you." And you know, all the children leave and the drag queens will leave. And then I'll give my speech and say, "Well, this is really problematic. I'm just as opposed to this as the next guy, David French." So National Review supports Jim Crow. They support white supremacy. They believe Martin Luther King Jr. is a Negro with a grievance. And David French, and much worse than all of that, I would say, he says the Drag Queen Story Hour is perfectly acceptable, constitutionally protected, and the only thing we could do about it is talk more about it. So it's looking pretty bad. We've got Cassie Dillon, who employs child sex offenders and terrorists. We've got Ben Shapiro, who supports ethnic cleansing and inspires terrorists. We've got National Review, who supports Jim Crow and white supremacy. David French, who worked for that publication, saying he's in favor of pedophilia and homosexuality being normalized and brainwashing children. Not looking so good for Conservative Inc. Guy Benson, who, again, this one's more of a hypocrisy lens. This is more of just ridiculous how hypocritical it is. I'll also add that, you know, Guy Benson, I've heard some very bad rumors about Guy Benson. You know, I will say Guy Benson is a homosexual liberal. I think he has a marriage. He's married to another man. I think that is a marriage that mocks God. I think he mocks God with that, which should be scandalous in itself. But beyond that, I've heard some rumors, which, you know, given what he is, I think you can imagine what they are. I've heard some things. I don't want to go into detail for legal reasons. I don't have any evidence, but you know what? I hear things from people. Let's just say there's a lot of homosexuals in the movement. And anyway, so we've heard some bad things about him. Let's just say the worst thing that Guy Benson, that he is not a hypocrite. But in any case, he wrote a book 4 years ago called End of Discussion. The book is called End of Discussion, How the Left's Outrage Industry Shuts Down Debate, Manipulates Voters, and Makes America Less Free and Fun. He was the one that kicked all of this off yesterday in this this big hit piece against me. He said, "A Groyper leader says this," and he posted a clip where I talk about Jim Crow. Guy Benson wrote when his book came out, quote, "I think the motive is to win political and cultural debates without really having the debates." He's referring to the left. "To win by default by shutting down and delegitimizing other views. Sometimes there are examples where there are coordinated tactics." coordinated tactics to shut down the debate before it's had, to delegitimize views, that sounds so foreign to me. But a lot of this is just a very human impulse of not wanting to be discomforted in your thoughts and not wanting to exert a terribly taxing amount of thought or critical thinking. I would have said it is coddled, particularly on the left and in academia, but we are seeing this as something the president caters to all the time. So, you know, again, with Guy Benson, I think, you know, what he's about, I mean, the guy's liberal. The guy, again, is sort of an apostate in a certain sense. The guy's pretty horrible. But with him, it's really more just hypocrisy. It's really just more a gross hypocrisy. Then we have Young America's Foundation. Young America's Foundation is who fired Michelle Malkin. They fired Michelle Malkin for saying nice things about me. This is very important. They fired Michelle Malkin for saying nice things about me. That's it. I must be a bad person. Michelle Malkin said nice things about a bad person, so she had to be fired. And they put out this statement saying, we condemn. What did it say? I'll scroll up. These people are so ridiculous, so full of themselves. The statement said, YAF gives a platform to a broad range of speakers with a range of views within the mainstream of conservative thought. Immigration is a vital issue that deserves robust debate, but there is no room in mainstream conservatism for Holocaust deniers, white nationalists, street brawlers, or racists. Wah, wah. Do you need a safe space, bitch? Do you need a safe space? Do you need a trigger warning when somebody's about to talk about cookies? Which, again, I maintain I was kidding, but, I mean, let's get real. So, YAF says Michelle Malkin is fired because she said a nice thing about bad people. Well, let's read an article from Mother Jones about Young America's Foundation. It says, quote, two prominent conservative movement officials who hold leadership positions for several right-wing groups, Ron Robinson and James B. Taylor, run a political action committee that donated thousands of dollars to a white nationalist organization, according to public records. You'll never guess who they worked for. And for several years, Taylor was vice president of another white nationalist organization. Robinson and Taylor are each board members of Young America's Foundation, which co-founded the annual Conservative Political Action Conference and runs the conservative youth group Young Americans for Freedom. Robinson, YAF's president, is on the board of two other conservative groups, Citizens United and the American Conservative Union. So American Conservative Union runs CPAC. So these two guys, one is the president of YAF, one is a board member on YAF, Young America's Foundation, that fired Michelle Malkin, and another one, yet another one, is on the board of ACU, which hosts CPAC, that I'm also not allowed at. It says, quote, with these positions, Robinson and Taylor are at the center of mainstream conservative infrastructure. You know, YAF talks about mainstream conservatism. These guys, according to Mother Jones, are at the center of mainstream conservative infrastructure. But each also sits on the three-person board of America's PAC, a far-right outfit that in 2004 gave $5,000 to the Charles Martel Society, a white nationalist group, according to the PAC's filing with the Federal Election Commission. Taylor, YAF's former executive director and a current board member, founded America's PAC in 1983. Both his and Robinson's names appear on America's PAC letterhead before and after the donation to the Martel Society. Since 2004, America's PAC has raised and spent over $5 million giving donations to dozens of Republican candidates. Taylor once led another white nationalist outfit. He was vice president of the National Policy Institute, also started by Regnery, NPI, which is Richard Spencer's organization. According to NPI's tax returns, Taylor was vice president of the group as late as 2007 when it released, quote, The State of White America 2007. That report called Brown versus Board of Education the Supreme Court decision that desegregated public schools, quote, arguably the worst decision in the court's 216-year history. The paper contended that integration in the civil rights movement led directly to the destruction of great cities and to millions of whites suffering terrible injustices, including assault, robbery, rape, and murder, and losing everything they had through the ensuing destruction of their neighborhoods and their property values. The NPI was founded according to its original mission statement, quote, to elevate the consciousness of whites, ensure our biological and cultural continuity, and protect our civil rights. Now, again, I'm not disavowing anybody. I don't disavow anybody. I don't play these games. I don't play the smear games. White nationalist to me doesn't even mean anything anymore. It's just a connotation. That said, if YAF is going to fire Michelle Malkin because she said something nice about me and they call me a white nationalist with no basis, you know, with no evidence, I've never claimed to be that. There's no evidence that I am that. But YAF fires Michelle Malkin because she says something nice about me, who they accuse of being all these terrible things. They've got a president of YAF. They've got a board member on YAF that sat on the board of NPI that said that desegregation was the biggest disaster in the Supreme Court's history, that said that desegregation led to the destruction of Detroit and all these major cities. They gave money to another organization with some of the same people. And they're going to go around firing people and talking about mainstream conservative, their president, their board member. They're passing around a clip where I said that people are better off under Jim Crow. Their president, their board member, was on the board of another organization that said desegregation was the worst disaster in the 216-year history of the Supreme Court. This is who they are. And again, I'm not disavowing anybody. I don't disavow anything. I disavow violence. That's just about it. Violence, you know, pedophilia, right? Obviously. But this white nationalist racist, I'm fundamentally not interested in these labels which are used to smear people by the left. But if they're going to use that, okay. Well, then YAF is a white nationalist organization. YAF is an organization that their leader is a white nationalist. And they employ people that are in favor of ethnic cleansing and people that employ pedophiles and terrorists and inspire terrorists and on and on. Then we get to Human Events, which is much less relevant. You know, Human Events, I wouldn't even bring up if it were not for some kind of personal vendetta, you know, against Will Chamberlain. Human Events is essentially irrelevant. I've talked about them before. I think you would be forgiven if you have never heard of this. If I say Human Events and you say, what's that? Human Events used to be this very old publication that was big in like the 1980s. It was defunct for like 10 years or something. And then Will Chamberlain, who again, I can understand why you might not know who that is. Will Chamberlain is like this trust fund kid in DC who has like a lot of money and is buying friends and influence and is failing at it miserably. He bought this publication, Human Events, earlier this year, and he bought it. It was defunct at the time. It got a little bit more traction once they started publishing new material, because like I said, they were defunct for years. They started publishing new articles. Raheem Kassam was an editor, and then Raheem Kassam left, and now the publication is less popular than when it was defunct. It was defunct. They weren't creating any new material for years, and now they get less traffic on their website than when they were, you know, not even operating, right? When they were not even operational. So just to give you an idea. But they've been on the attack just as well. One of their only remaining employees is a man by the name of Ian Miles Chong, who is just sort of like a disgusting, ugly, slovenly figure. I'm not even sure why anybody pays attention to him anymore, purely on the fact of his look. I mean, this is somebody that you would pay to go away. If somebody was trying to peddle your views, you would give him money to stop representing them because he's so ugly. You know, if you understand marketing or anything like that, you want young people, you want good-looking people, you know, the optics, as I say, is very important. So somebody like that is somebody that I'd say, here's $1,000, please fuck off, right? But in any case, he's been participating in the smear against me and Michelle Malkin. There was an article written about him in Medium where he said some pretty not so good things either. He wrote in a tweet, quote, "I wonder if the Jew has a bag of gold around his neck and a yarmulke that is +5 schmoozing." That's a dialogue skill, says Ian Miles Chong. So Ian Miles Chong calls us white nationalists, anti-Semitic, whatever. This is the first tweet. He says, "I wonder if the Jew has a bag of gold around his neck and a yarmulke that is +5 schmoozing." I guess that's some kind of anti-Semitic trope that like Jewish people are rich, or that they love money, or that they are good at persuading people. They have high verbal IQ, or perhaps verbal deceit. You know, maybe that's what he's getting at there. Horrible, horrible thing to say. Another tweet mocks Israeli victimization by Hamas, saying, quote, "Israel is under siege by Hamas. I bet Japan is under siege by Wales, too." So kind of making light of Israeli suffering. He says, quote, in another tweet, "Build the time machine. Introduce Planned Parenthood to the early Jews," which I can assume is something talking about ethnically cleansing Jewish people, something like that. And then there's another pretty rough situation where it says in the article, popular journalist Jared Holt chronicled the curious case of Ian Miles Chong, saying, quote, "There's the curious case of Ian Miles Chong, who appeared on an alt-right podcast 2 months ago alongside hosts from the white supremacist podcast network, The Right Stuff, during which he told the hosts that he supported both nationalism and socialism." So he's saying he's a national socialist or a Nazi. The podcast recently hosted former Grand Wizard David Duke and features white supremacist iconography and a visual aesthetic known as Fashwave. In his earlier days online, Chong reportedly posted to a chat log with messages praising the Holocaust and saying that Hitler was his idol, which he later chalked up to irony. Don't you find this so rich? So Ian Miles Chong goes on the TRS podcast where David Duke has been there. Literally, David Duke has been there before. He says he's a national socialist. He says Hitler is his idol. He says that, you know, Jews should be, what I can presume is ethnically cleansed based on that tweet. So all of this is in his past, has been posted on Twitter, has been posted. He's been in these different podcasts. All of this is to say, this guy has the gall to come at me and Michelle Malkin and say, we're white nationalists, whatever, Holocaust deniers, because what? I made a joke one time. I made an ironic joke about this cookie thing. He says that makes me a Holocaust denial. He says Hitler is his idol. He makes jokes about how the Holocaust was good. I never said that, but that's what he said. He says, oh, that was all irony. He's on a podcast, which I would never go on, with David Duke and all these other characters, and that gets a pass. Now, understand exactly how this works. To me, this incident is symptomatic of the whole thing. Will Chamberlain, who employs Ian Miles Chong, sees nothing wrong with any of this. He sees nothing wrong with any of this. He remains gainfully employed by Will Chamberlain, Ian Miles Chong. But I'm put on blast all day by Will Chamberlain as white nationalist, anti-Semitic, all the rest. Doesn't that tell you exactly how it works? Doesn't it show you that it's really not about the Holocaust? It's really not about racism. It's really not about any of the things they say it's about. It is about the system. Are you going to play ball or are you not? If you play ball like Ian Miles Chong and you do the proper disavowals and you do the proper genuflection, none of that matters. All of that can be erased. Right? It's the same with Jack Posobiec. Jack Posobiec, who's been tweeting, you know, 1488 for years, and, you know, he said he was alt-right, and he hung out with Richard Spencer for years. All of that gets swept under the rug, doesn't matter, because he made the proper disavowals, he made the trip to Israel, he retweets certain people, and so now he's in the clear. Same is true with Ian Miles Chong, employed by Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain also hangs out with Jack Posobiec. None of that matters. The context, all of it, it's completely sterilized. They get total clemency on that because they bend the knee to conservative ink. I have done and said things far less bad, far less offensive, whatever, and they are jokes, and it is irony. And I am subject to this coordinated smear, coordinated attacks. Everybody that associates me with me is attacked under the same guise, right, under the same premise. Doesn't that tell you exactly what's going on here? If anybody was confused, if it was ambiguous to anybody, that at the end of the day, it's really not about any of this stuff. It's really not about people say something offensive or they support somebody offensive or whatever, but it's really just more about submission. So when people go around saying, oh, I'm disgusted, this is gross, they're putting those clips out there for a reason. Nobody was talking about my show 4 weeks ago until we started asking Charlie Kirk the tough questions. We started showing that Charlie Kirk was a hypocrite on free speech, and we were right. So then they put up all the old clips, all the old hit jobs. Everybody's got a clip out there. The difference is ours get exposed and ours are interpreted in the least charitable light because we oppose the system. Now, speaking of opposing free speech, we have Will Chamberlain. I've saved the best for last for tonight with Will Chamberlain. These are previously undisclosed messages. This is brand spanking new. Nobody's ever seen this before. You know, like I said, actually conservative on Christianity, for not being actually conservative on immigration and all this. And then we're also exposing them for being against free speech, because once we begin to expose that their views are not Christian or conservative, well, then they respond with these kinds of tactics. The smears, the deplatforming, they shut down the Q&A. Now, all throughout, these people have maintained this, they maintain the position, which is fake, by the way. They've maintained this facade that they support my right to speak, but they just oppose what I say. That's what they say the whole time. Well, I think that what Nick Fuentes says is reprehensible, but we're not in favor of deplatforming him. Now, we know that's not true. The ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, on the order of a Turning Point proxy, explicitly called for me to be deplatformed. Sebastian Gorka implicitly, all but explicitly said I should be deplatformed. He said, at Jack Dorsey, at Twitter Safety, why does Nick still have a Twitter account? So he's asking for it. Will Nardi, who works for National Review, cheered on the deplatforming of me from iTunes. He said that Michelle Malkin should be deplatformed just today. He literally explicitly said Michelle Malkin should be deplatformed, should be banned from social media. So for a long time, people didn't really believe me, maybe because the people calling for my deplatforming aren't high ranking enough, or maybe it's not direct. But Will Chamberlain has said in the past, and I find it so rich, We're going to hone in on this loser, and I hope nobody ever works with him in town ever again after this, and certainly nobody wants to be his friend anyway or work with him. He's stuck with Ian Miles Chong, who looks like he's been the victim of an acid attack or some kind of perverse chemical incident like Joker in the 1990s Batman, sort of disfigured person. So nobody really wants to work with him to begin with, but I hope this will show you his true colors here. This is kind of the heart of the matter, why conservatives don't believe in free speech. So he can say, oh, I'm in favor of free speech legislation. He can say all this. But I've got with us an exclusive conversation that he had, a text message conversation, with somebody who was at the White House social media summit over the summer. Okay, and this is a little bit about the Ashley St. Clair situation. So for context, a lot of my guys were giving Ashley St. Clair a hard time. She called me out for something that I said on my show, and so we went really hard on her for being a fake conservative. We're kind of friendly now, but so that's the context of all this. This is a conversation. So Will Chamberlain says, quote, just a thought experiment for you. And the name is redacted. We want to protect the identity, but he says, just a thought experiment for you. After today, why should I care about social media censorship ever again? After today, this is the day we were attacking Ashley St. Clair on Twitter. He says, after today, why should I ever care about social media censorship again? The free speech advocate who was at the White House social media summit replies, oh, I don't particularly care if you do. Will replies, quote, people whose right to speak I've defended aggressively used it to harass a 20-year-old girl because they were mad that I wouldn't personally associate with them. The free speech advocate says, yeah, you're being too myopic. Will says, aren't you? Free speech advocate says, quote, I lost my wife because the media spread lies about me and I couldn't protect her. The feelings of some e-celebrities are all awash in the end. Will Chamberlain says, you're missing the point. Free speech advocate says, when I first started talking about this issue, you were nowhere to be seen. I don't begrudge you, but I intend to win. I put my time, my money, and if necessary, I would give my life for it. Freedom is messy. People say mean things. I accept that. You're missing my point. So we have a great conversation, a great dialectic of exactly the proper response. You know, who cares if some e-celebrity is upset? You know, people have invested a lot in this. We care about free speech, and it's messy sometimes. People's feelings get hurt. Will says, I get your point. You will do what is necessary. They have ruined your life, and you're on a mission, right? Free speech advocate says, I think it's going to lead to civil war. If I do nothing, that's the stakes. Will says, agreed. But if someone with my sensibilities is waffling, where is your base? It's not about my ability, da-da-da. Will says, the free speech advocate says, I don't need the base. I have something that is redacted. Will says, maybe not for long. If Milo and Loomer keep this up, and that was attacking Will Chamberlain, he says, if they actually get traction with this garbage, people might well change their minds on this whole issue on free speech. Free speech advocate says, who cares? Will says, I mean, I might, and I might start going to those state AGs, state attorney generals, and telling them, quote, you know what? This is basically a way to protect people who are just aggressively engaged in targeted harassment. Maybe I'll donate too. Honestly, why not? What I've seen over the past few days disgusted me. So do you understand what he's talking about here? Will Chamberlain, who tried to make himself the figurehead of protecting free speech. You know, what is his tagline? Platform access as a civil right. He was trying to draft legislation. He was trying to put himself as the figurehead, as the spearhead of the free speech movement from the right wing. And he says in the first sentence, what does he say in the first sentence? He says, why should I care about social media censorship ever again after this Ashley St. Clair situation? He then says, I might go to those state attorney generals and I'll tell them, you know what? In other words, free speech is basically a way to protect people who are just aggressively engaged in targeted harassment. Maybe I'll donate too. So Will Chamberlain's a trust fund kid. He's got a lot of money from his parents. He's also a lawyer. So what he's saying is, I will go to state attorney generals. I will tell them that all this free speech agitation from Milo and Loomer and Alex Jones and Donald Trump and Don Jr., all these people pushing free speech, he says, I will tell state attorney generals who are in charge of some of these things that are going on, right, the enforcement of some of these laws, and they're trying to push against tech censorship. He says, I will donate to them, because the free speech advocate says, you know, they're not going to listen to you. You won't be able to get through the door. Will Chamberlain says, I will go to them, and I will tell them that all this free speech stuff is nonsense. All it is to protect people engaged in aggressive targeted harassment, and I'll donate, so I'll convince them. He says, and why not? What I've seen over the past few days has disgusted me. So he sees his employee, Ashley St. Clair, who he's trying to sleep with, by the way, and it's not working because he's repulsive, but he's trying to sleep with her, this young girl who he had her write some lines for his publication. Because she's being attacked online, he says, I don't care about free speech anymore. I will go to state attorney generals. I will donate money, and I will tell them from somebody on the inside of Conservative Inc. that all this free speech stuff is just a gambit. It's just trying to protect targeted harassment. Will says, cool, do you think your odds go up with me as an adversary or an ally? The advocate says, well, I don't care about you. You have come out talking about it as a civil rights issue, and now you're on the other side because of some 20-year-old. It diminishes you, not me, says the free speech advocate. Will Chamberlain says, no, because I've seen something profoundly evil today. That you will apologize for and rationalize away. The free speech advocate says, I know people have tried to kill themselves because of these tech companies' actions. In other words, tech censorship. Will says, if Ashley were a weaker girl, she might have killed herself today after the stunt Laura Loomer pulled. The free speech advocate says, not going to stop because someone got their feelings hurt. Will says, you literally just try to guilt me with the feelings of people hurt by tech companies. So I think I will release these screenshots, you know, as evidence. I'll have to consult with the person involved and see what they're comfortable being released, but I've been entrusted with the transcript. And I think that says it all right there. That says it all right there. Will Chamberlain, who has been on OAN, I think he might have been on Fox News. He rubs shoulders with all these people. I think probably Don Jr. He is with all the grifters hanging out at the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. He tried to spearhead himself as the lead of the free speech movement, platform access as a civil rights issue. That's the rhetoric he uses, trying to write legislation to protect free speech online. And here he is in a private conversation in July saying, I don't care about free speech. I will go to state attorney generals. I will tell them to stop supporting free speech. I will donate money to them to tell them to stop supporting free speech. I will lie to them and I will tell them that it's all just a gambit to protect targeted harassment. This is who we're talking about. This is Conservative Inc. They do not believe in free speech. And if you didn't believe it when Will Nardi said it, if you didn't believe it when Sebastian Gorka said it, if you didn't believe it when the ZOA said it, maybe you'll believe it when Will Chamberlain says it. You know, if you don't believe when Charlie Kirk does it in practice and Benny Johnson and all the rest, maybe this will convince you. So we look at across the board, all these people that have come out so high and mighty, so principled, they never get their hands dirty. They've never said anything wrong. Of course, I'm a bad guy. You know, Nick Fuentes is evil. Nick Fuentes is a Holocaust denier. And anybody who comes out to bat for him, anybody who supports him, is evil too because of their association. These are the same people that write for National Review. National Review, who said that the white man must govern the South because Negroes are retarded. And they said that the civil rights era, or rather Martin Luther King Jr., is nothing but a Negro with a grievance. Right? People that work for Young America's Foundation that fire Michelle Malkin for associating with me. The same people that have as their president and a board member. People that worked with Richard Spencer's organization as a board member and donated to organizations like it. The list goes on and on. Cassie Dillon, who employs somebody who's a child sex offender and somebody who made terrorist threats against black people for being black. Ben Shapiro supports ethnic cleansing. So if we're going to play this game, if that's the standard, you say one thing wrong one time, your life is over. You associate with somebody who said one thing wrong time and their life is over too, then so be it. But let's have a little bit of accountability. Let's have a little bit of consistency. And need I remind you that perhaps the best example of all of this is that this is happening to the Trump administration right now with Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, who quoted V. Dare a couple of times in a private correspondence, and now they're hanging him out to dry on the left. It's the same tactics. These people are indistinguishable from the left. And you know what people have called this? Infighting. They said that we don't need this before an election year. It's not coming from us. We're going to Q&As and we're asking questions about issues. We go to Charlie Kirk and we say, you know, you said something about immigration. Why do you believe it? You said you support F1 visas. They're harmful. Can you explain how they're not harmful? In response to this, they have dug up all these old clips of me, 30 seconds, taken out of context. And they've got all of Conservative Inc. coordinating to smear me as a terrible person. Michelle Malkin steps up to tell the truth and say, that's not true. That's not true. He actually has legitimate grievances and he has a right to speak. And now they do the same thing to her because of me. So understand that this is exactly how the system works. At the end of the day, it's not about the Holocaust, not about white supremacy, it's not about white nationalism, it's not about the social media stuff, it's not about any of this. Understand all of this is ammunition, tactics, strategies. This is all the surface level soap opera that's happening. What this is about is people and infrastructure. These people think that they get to control the conversation, that they control who gets to be in the mainstream and whose lives get destroyed, who gets to be on Twitter and who gets banned, who gets the contracts and who doesn't, who gets to make a living and who does not, who gets to have friends and who doesn't, who's inside the cocktail parties and who is ostracized from their friends and family because they get smeared as a certain way. That's what this is about. Just like the left does it, Conservative Inc. is doing the same thing, and they're no better. They're actually worse. So if you take a good long look, maybe you could spread around, clip each of these things, post it under everybody that's tweeting out these clips of me. You know, if somebody wants to say, oh, Nick Fuentes supports Jim Crow, if David French wants to say that, here's your organization supporting Jim Crow explicitly, and here's you saying that you support Drag Queen Story Hour. You know, because if that's a game we're going to play, then, well, two can play at that game. And like I said, the best is yet to come. If you think this was bad, as I said, I'll say this is an extension of Phase 1, but Phase 2 approaches rapidly, and I can assure you that nobody will want to be on the side of Turning Point USA when it arrives. Take my word for it, because if you don't, you're going to be in some big trouble. But we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our Super Chats, and we'll see what you guys are saying about all of this. It's been fun. It's fun to be on this side as opposed to the other side. The good thing is that I have nothing left to lose. People know where I stand. People know my views. People watch my show every night for 2 hours, 3 hours. They know what I'm about. But, you know, if you have no organic engagement, you're astroturfed and propped up by Conservative Inc., well, then maybe you have a little bit more to lose. But, and I should highlight, you may have a lot to lose based on Phase 2 imminently approaching, and I can't wait. I anticipate it. So look, if you're on the fence, if you're defending Turning Point USA, I would choose up. At the bare minimum, I would disavow. You know, this stuff, in contrast to what will come out, is mild. So, but, you know, why would anybody listen to me, right? Why would anybody listen to me? It's not like I've only been right about everything so far. But we'll move on. We'll take a look at our Super Chats. We've been on for over an hour already, and we'll see what you guys are saying about these horrible things, these horrible white nationalists that have taken over the mainstream. Oh, Young America's Foundation has people working for NPI. They've hijacked the conservative movement. They've hijacked the conservative mainstream, but don't be fooled. They're white nationalists, right? So we'll see what you have to say about this. Mr. Corgi says, I've had some good burgers in my time. I love a good Swiss melted Swiss cheese and roasted mushrooms, caramelized onions on a burger. That is hot stuff. And you can get that in a number of different locations. Yeah, well, thanks for that. Thanks for that great advice. I was going to get one of those last night, but they didn't have that on the menu. I just had to get a Philly cheesesteak instead. Local politician says, Brian Stelter here, coming to you live with a shocking new report indicating that President Trump was allegedly the only one in the theater laughing when Arthur drops his gun at the Children's Hospital. That would be funny. Yeah, I did hear Donald Trump scream Joker in the White House, which to me is like, we live in the best timeline. It's a very white-pilling timeline, right? Well-behaved Wilson says, sorry about the crumbs on my keyboard, Nick. I was just enjoying a good burger. It had melted Swiss cheese and mushrooms, roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions. It was seriously hot stuff and available at a number of places. Well, that's okay. I forgive you. You can clean out your keyboard. Just turn it upside down and shake it. That's what I do. But that sounds like a mean sandwich. Sean says, hey, Nick, seeing your Cookie Monster video getting played on the big screen behind Alex Jones and Owen had me dying. God bless America. Yeah, it was like that scene in Joker, you know, when, what does he say? Alex Jones says, in a world where everybody thinks they can do my job, take a look at this Joker. And then he plays the Cookie Monster clip. All the Nickers collectively get up out of bed. You know, the 500-pound hacker, you know, like Trump says, on their bed. You know, and they're laughing just like in that scene in Joker. True. Yeah, it was good to see. Omega King says, do you think a Zio-Chad like Jacob Wall can help us install you as dictator despite being a Zio-Chad? I want to win, and the Zionists have money and connections way more than Christians do these days. No, I think we might actually have to thrive in spite of him. You know, look, Jacob Wall and I disagree on a lot of things, but we're somewhat friendly. But I think he might oppose some of the things I say, so I don't know about that. Ed Lundgren says, I never knew Nick was an artist. Not only does he host America First, he invented Groypers. Very impressive. R.I.P. Styx. Yeah, I am a man of many talents, and yeah, big F in chat for Styx. Pretty tragic to see him go like that. Knight of Mirrors says, are you ready for the melted Swiss cheese burger posting? It's going to be hot stuff. Yeah, I'm ready. Eddie says, transgenders are degenerate, but if they ruin women's sports, good. How about you practice being a housewife, babe, instead of playing a watered-down sport already played by men? Equality is a joke. Yeah, big agree. It's the stupidest angle. It's like, these athletes, these female athletes work so hard, and then a man comes in, good, ruin women's sports, please. Nobody even watches them. And it's like, whatever, if women want to recreationally do that for fitness or something, it's like, who is this even done for? To what end do we have a women's basketball association, right? Or anything like that. Nobody watches this stuff. It's very low stakes. Nobody cares. The women's soccer game. So what, that lesbian can get her 15 minutes? Please. So, yeah, I agree. Big L says, big opportunity tomorrow, big guy. I need you to check that email if we want to capitalize. Subject line should stand out. It's hot stuff. You can't get this at a number of places. Okay, if you have an email, please shut up, all right? I have 500 emails in my inbox yet again. I can't get to all of them, but I will be on the lookout. Robot says, I've had some good wig nasties in my time. I love a good undercut pagan tattoos and bushy mustaches and skinny jeans on a man. That is hot stuff. You can get that at a number of different alt-right rallies. Well, that's kind of a weird angle, kind of gross, but okay. Omega King says, also, I know you hate Owen Benjamin, but his recent video, The Doomer Zoomer, was pretty funny. I don't hate Owen Benjamin. I don't even think of Owen Benjamin. But anybody that watches him, a guy that threatens to kill me and lies and slanders my family in a way that is not only illegal but also sinful, I would question where your moral compass is at. It was one thing when it was banter, but what he's saying now is just perverse and disgusting, and it's just downright wrong. So, Squidward says, your intelligence, charisma, and wisdom is unmatched. Yeah, I agree, true. Eris says, on the 500 stream, you asked where True Dill Tom went. All his content is gone, but the project has been passed on to Joel Davis. Anyone interested should peep his channel. Oh, okay. It doesn't really answer my question, but okay. Fed in Law says, Nick, could you give a birthday shout-out to my Atlantean king, Matt Garson? Zoomer at heart and my brother for life. 221 Clan represent. Well, sure, shout-out to Matt. Happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. Congrats. Congrats on the birthday. Just a Canadian with a big super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Michelle Malkin deserved better. Thanks for all you do. Keep it coming, big guy from the north. Well, thanks. She does. She really is the real deal. And look at how these people turn on a dime on her when it wasn't convenient. That says everything you need to know about him. So I agree. Look, you know, you can get her commentary at a number of different places. What she's saying is hot stuff, I'll just say. You know, and I've heard some good commentary in my day, but I love anti-immigration, anti-Common Core, America First nationalist, that is hot stuff. And you can get that a number of different places, that content. No, but thanks so much for the big super chat. It's true. She is, unironically, she's the best, a real hero. And I don't want her to go down with the ship with me. You know, she doesn't endorse everything I say, but she's a real queen. Robot says, please, everybody, go buy Michelle Malkin's book, Open Borders, now. Get the book in Audible version if you can. Conservatives need to be shown that there is a financial life after getting canceled by Conservative Inc. Yeah, definitely do that. Buy her books. Subscribe to her Twitter. Her website is twitchy. Check out her website. Exactly. We need to support our people when they get slandered. RA says, Nick goes on a stream with Owen Schroyer and Alex Jones and is the most electrifying personality of the bunch. Truly a right-wing flamethrower. Well, I wouldn't say that. I think they're great. I think Alex Jones is great. I think Owen's great. It's not a competition, right? Just a couple of guys hanging out. But I love those guys. Alex Jones cracks me up. He's honestly so funny. You know, and Owen's intelligent. He's great. He's funny, too. He was kind of being quiet today, but I really do love his content as well. So I'm excited to go on tomorrow. I'm a little bit starstruck when I go on because we've been watching those guys forever. They've been like the name forever. But we'll see what else do we have. Fritz says, I can't stop thinking about Charlie getting run out of University of Houston by the mob last week. It looked like he was going back to Turning Point headquarters to eat holographic meatloaf with his AIGF like he does every night. That's, what is that, a Blade Runner reference? But yeah, it's pretty true. Or no, I'm sorry, that's a SpongeBob reference. Caught me off guard a little bit with the AIGF. That is a SpongeBob reference. He's getting kicked out of the chum bucket. You know, I'm Mr. Krabs. We put Charlie Kirk in the straw, and we spit him out. He's flying through the doors, the Krusty Krab. I went to college. And through the doors, the Chum Bucket. Nobody wants that. People want Krabby Patties. People want America First. They don't want Chum Bucket. They don't want, you know, the Chum Burger, Chum Patty, whatever. That's what Turning Point USA is. It's the Chum Bucket. And you're a chum if you work there. You know, I saw this kid Lance the other day. I should address this. I don't know if he's watching or not. But I saw this kid Lance the other day, Lance Videos. And he's this youngster, okay? He's this teenager, high schooler. So I don't want to go too hard on him. But he's in Turning Point USA. And he's a young kid, and he's doing good for himself. You know, he's got a job at Turning Point. He works for Benny Johnson, which is kind of cringe, but, you know, he's made a name for himself, which is respectable. And he's on TikTok. He's on Instagram. He's a real Zoomer. You know, he's making viral content. It's good stuff. Right? It's kind of cringe stuff, kind of, but it's viral. It's getting out there. And the other day, we're playing Call of Duty, right? It's me. It's some of the other Turning Point Zoomers. It's this guy. We're playing Call of Duty. And we're just being bros, you know, and I jumped into the game knowing that he doesn't like me, knowing that he says nasty things about me. I went on in spite of that to bust his chops a little bit, but also to show that we're friendly, we're based, and we're human. You know, the Groypers that are doing this are your friend. We are your friend. We know relevant facts that perhaps other people do not. We're fighting for your interests. Even if you don't like us, we're fighting for your future, right? And so I go on there in the spirit of dialogue and all this to be friendly. And then this kid starts attacking me last night. He starts attacking me. He's talking shit about me in private, saying all these really nasty things. And first of all, I'm hurt by this. First of all, on a certain level, I'm hurt by this. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I play, you know, we squad up. I think we're bros. I think, okay, well, he's a cool guy. Even if we don't see it eye to eye, at least he's a guy, right? At least he's a bro about it. He's attacking me personally. It's a little bit hurtful to me, number one. But beyond that, it's not a very manly thing to do to, you know, pretend like you're friendly and then go behind somebody's back and then attack somebody, right, on that level. But beyond that, it's like, who are you doing it for? You're doing it for Turning Point USA. So I put him on blast on Twitter. I deleted it because he's a kid. He's not our enemy. Our enemy is Charlie Kirk, who is getting money from Scientologists, and he's in these shady organizations. Don't want to name things, might get me killed, but he's involved in some things. Our enemy is Charlie Kirk. Our enemy is Benny Johnson, who's a plagiarist and terrible, and it's these guys. A young kid who gets caught up in the scene is not our enemy. He's a Zoomer. He's a gamer. He should be on our side. He could be on our side. But the question is why? The question is why do people, you know, I think of the Chum Bucket, why do young Zoomers want to be this? Why do they want to be a part of this breathless, you know, disavowing establishment? Why do they want to be a part of this game where they have to lie and they have to pull up their pants so tight and say, these Groypers are racist, you know, they're having too much fun. We're laughing, and we're laughing, you know. It's like he says in Joker, you know, you completely killed Charlie Kirk at that event last night, and you're laughing. I know, right? How about another question? You think what you did to Charlie Kirk at University of Houston is funny? I do. And I'm tired of pretending it's not. Charlie Kirk couldn't carry a tune to save his life, right? So we're having fun. We're cheering. It's the 2016 energy. We're running away with the MAGA flag. We're getting chased by all these Turning Point fags. Remember that cartoon where it's all the Pepes wearing the MAGA hat. They're running with the flag and they're getting chased by the SJWs. It's the same energy. It's all the Groypers were running around chanting America First. All these, you know, dysgenic looking Turning Point shills chasing us, pants pulled up twice. You can't say that. You're not a real conservative. What kind of Zoomer, what kind of young adolescent Zoomer, a gamer, would want to be a part of this? Would want to work for Diaper Point USA, Benny Johnson, Meme Lord Benny Johnson. Really? You know, so what we're doing is we are extending a hand to you, the people. It is an overture to the younger generation, the Turning Point members. You have nothing to lose but cringe. You have nothing to lose but your chains. Join us. We're fun. We're funny. We are correct. We are America First. We are the spirit of 2016. We are the conservative movement's reckoning. And for now, we don't have a problem with the rank-and-file Turning Point USA members, but if you desert, you could still stand a chance at escaping. It won't be like that forever. So I just want to say that. Take a look at what's been going on. Who is the future here? Who is right? Who's fun? We are the truth. They are lying. We are the truth, as Kanye said. So I had to drop it in there, you know. I don't have a problem, you know, I don't have a problem with teenagers. That's the thing. These people that are attacking me are twice my age, and they have a blood feud with me. They have a blood feud. Ben Shapiro's had a blood feud with me since I was 18 years old, okay? I'm 21. I see myself as a man now. I don't have a feud with a teenager. I don't have feuds with college kids, for the most part, right? Unless they're really terrible. But the real enemy is Kirk. So somebody like that is like, okay, well, you know, we're still fighting for you, and we still are forgiving. We extend an open hand. Hey, we have no expectations. You know, still be in the organization, whatever, but that's all. So anyway, the chum bucket reminds me of this. Twilight says, I said that every demographic that was persecuted during the 30s and 40s in Germany is what contributed to the number 6 million. This guy said he acknowledged them. He then said all were Jews. Okay, I'm not sure what you're referring to. I don't know who you're talking about said they were all Jewish and where you said that, but okay. Let's see. Andre says, Conservative Inc. will never be America First, and they will continue to rot us from the inside until there's nothing left. There is no victory in criticizing a sinking ship. If you're on it, let's build another. Well, I don't know if you're implying that I'm in Conservative Inc., but it's kind of what we're trying to do. Anonymous Chances, in case you didn't read the last one. Hey, Nick, do you, believe in alternate universes? No. Let's see. West says, went to Catholic Mass with my roommate last Sunday. First time going in a long time, and I really enjoyed it. Used to be a Protestant, but I may have to convert. Anyway, here's some money. Go buy yourself a burger, big guy. Well, thanks. I actually will. I will go out and buy myself a burger. I'm going to say, excuse me, I'm ready to order. I'll just say, okay, what do you have? I'll say, yeah, I'd like a, I'd love a burger with Swiss, melted Swiss cheese, mush, roasted mushrooms, and caramelized onions on my burger. That would be hot stuff. And she'd say, okay, coming right up. So yeah, thank you though. I'm glad you went to Catholic Church. I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's what we need to happen. Swift has been a follower since the first month of the RSBN show, and I have the tweets to prove it. What is the running money rate, dollar rate for an unmute? And his at is Swift1889. I promise I'll be good. God bless. You know what? An unmute. I'll give you an unmute. But if you post cringe again, Oh, you're not even muted. Bro, you're not even muted. Oh, no, you are. Okay. On mobile, it has a big red, like, thing that says you're muted. On here, it just says you have muted this account in small letters. So, yeah. I won't unblock, but I will unmute you. So, thank you. Let's see. Wagey says, Conservative Inc. be like, ugh, choking on a carrot as the Groiper gets ready to prepare a meal. Okay, what? Also, it ticks me off to hear whites using a black accent when talking to them. Just speak normal, cringe. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would only use a black accent to talk to black people to be funny, you know? But yeah, it is cringe if you do it unironically. Like Hillary Clinton does it, AOC does it. Yeah, I would never do anything like that unless I was trying to be funny. I'd be like, yo, what's good, cuh? What's good, cuh? I'd you know, if I was trying to be funny, but normally I'd be like, hello, my black friend. I wouldn't say that. That is somewhat unnatural. I would just say, what's up, dude? I'd say, hey, bro, want to squat up? And they'd be like, she'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, all right, cool. So, yeah, I agree. Very cringe. Let's see, what else? I'd be like, yeah. Big Dog says, congrats on 67K subscribers, big guy. I remember 1K. We need to support Malkin hard on Twitter. Started that clothing line, bro. Oh, I'm not shilling your clothing line, bro. I'm trying to sell merch. You think I'm going to shill your clothing line? Forget about it. Thanks for the big super chat. And I agree. You know, thanks for the boost. Yeah, 67K. It's been a lot of growth on the sub count these past few weeks. And yeah, we should support Malkin hard, but this guy be like, yeah, buy my product, buy my apparel. Godwilling.com. Okay, sure, bro. Nick says, thanks for all you do for fiscal conservativism. So this guy watched the Eli Shaver stream. Yes, I am a fiscal conservativist. Hi. And I'm just giving Elijah Shaver a hard time. I really like that guy. He's a stand-up guy, even if he doesn't totally get it. But I mean, he's a good person. And I consider him a friend, but yeah. Fiscal conservatism, ugh, cringe. But yeah, let's see. What else? Williams is when people are told that a burger will come out with mush, roasted mushrooms, and melted Swiss cheese. Nobody panics. he says, this is the best one so far, I think. He says, when people are told that a burger will come out with mush, roasted mushrooms, and melted Swiss cheese, nobody panics. But when one little caramelized onion comes on it, well, everybody loses their minds. That's got to be the funniest super chat in a long time. We've all been told that a burger will come out with roasted mushrooms or melted Swiss cheese. Nobody panics because everybody's going according to plan. When one little caramelized onion comes on it, well, everybody loses their minds. Introduce a little anarchy. Get it in a number of different places. That's hot stuff. Heads, caramelized onion, you live. No caramelized onion, you die. Now that's hot stuff. I like it. Okay, but we got it. We got to move on. That's got to be the funniest one I've heard in a long time. Too funny. Smarty says, love your work, Nick. You speak very well from a fellow 21-year-old living in Australia. The true greatest ally. Well, thanks. I agree. They are our greatest ally. Mason says, nothing more annoying than these Catholic grifters who are attacking you for their secular donors and owners. Keep up the fight and God bless. So true, Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles. And look, there are these internecine battles within conservative Inc., but they're lying. Calumny is a sin. You expect better. I get it. You don't have to like me. You know, Catholicism doesn't mean you have to like everyone or you have to agree with everyone on politics. But Michael Knowles is lying. He's engaging in a willful and malicious deception to hurt my reputation. That is a mortal sin. When you do, and notice, I don't lie about any of these people. Even when I'm reading out all these terrible things they do, I say, again, we're only holding them to the same standard that they're holding us to. I have never lied about these people to defame their reputation. All these things I'm saying are facts. I couldn't afford to lie. If I lied, it would get exposed immediately because of all the scrutiny and pressure on me, right? So they're engaging in calumny. They have to go to confession for this and try to atone. It is very annoying and it's horrible. Bone Lord says, Nick, my Pennsylvanian friend Zane and I, who share, quote, our values, would like to know if you ever played a Final Fantasy, and if so, what was your favorite adventure? Thank you, Nick. I've never played Final Fantasy. The RPG has never really been my thing. Even when I was like a console gamer and I was much more of a gamer, I played a lot of Call of Duty. I played Grand Theft Auto. It was really like I played mostly Call of Duty, Fallout, and Grand Theft Auto were my main games, and Red Dead Redemption. So I would play like the Rockstar games, I'd play COD games, and I'd play Fallout. And that was really it. You know, I played some other games here and there, obviously. But like Rock Band, I had a big Rock Band phase, you know, Guitar Hero. But, you know, those are my main. So I never played like Final Fantasy, a lot of this other, you know, Halo. Never really got into that. Bilbo says, based on your explanation of true conservatism on DLive, how can a conservative rebel against a hypothetical state that is antithetical to one's personal or Catholic moral... What? How can a conservative... Oh, agitate. He spelled it agigate. A-G-I-G-A-T-E. So based on my explanation, how can a conservative rebel against a hypothetical state that is antithetical to one's personal or Catholic morals, views, or values? Well, because it's antithetical to the kind of state we're trying to create. So I said conservatism is about order, and it is about the state and all this. And so you're saying, well, if you're rebelling against a state and the established order, well, how does that conservative? Well, it's because, again, I don't think we're in favor of a state in itself. We're in favor of a just and righteous state directed towards something higher. So it's not to say that we're in favor of every state everywhere. You know, it wouldn't be conservative to say that we support the communist Politburo, right? We support a state that is divinely ordered. You know, statism in itself is not inherently wrong, but a state that is promoting evil is obviously antithetical to Catholic views and antithetical to conservatism. So that's how I sort of reconcile that. 30-year-old boomer says the new YouTube terms look rather calculated. No obligation to host content, able to delete accounts for no cause. I hope you have some alternatives lined up. December 10th is coming fast. Godspeed. I really don't like when people say this. Believe me, I'm completely aware of these things. It's my job to be aware of these things. And these people are always, oh, well, it's very bad energy. I don't I'm a big believer in this kind of stuff. You create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, I hope you have a backup plan. Believe me. Do you think I don't, you know, really? I have a plan, but I'm not going to read anything else like this. Autismus says, I've had some good super chats in my time. I love a good $2 and poo, pee pee poo poo on a super chat. That is hot stuff. You could get that from a number of different super chatters. Yep. Yoker says, sorry for posting cringe on the timeline last week. I disavow my carpe donctum tier meme. Is there any hope for me or should I cancel myself? Also, at me next time. Well, I didn't at you because it's a lot of people doing this. So I don't want to single anybody out because I've seen a lot of it. But all is forgiven. You can reform yourself, but just listen. Listen to what Zoomers are putting out there. And, you know, try and make something that isn't cringe, okay? No harm, no foul, as long as we improve, right? I'm just trying to make you better. John says, here's to seeing your face on OAN and Drudge. Yeah, big week. Fuentes is rising, says Drudge, right? Torn Bootstraps says, do you know if Krusty Krab serves a good Swiss, melted Swiss cheese and mush, roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions on a burger? I hear it's hot stuff, better than the Big Mac. Oh, whoa, well, let's pause on the Big Mac counter signaling. Please, no counter signaling of Big Mac or McDonald's on the show. I don't know if the Krusty Krab has that kind of a burger. We'd have to inquire. We'd have to ask SpongeBob, I think, for that. We'd have to call up Mr. Krabs. Hello, is this a Krusty Krab? No, this is Richard. Master of War says hello, or rather he says fellow Midwesterner here. Congrats on your 501st show. Please enjoy a butter burger, fries, cheese curds, and a concrete mixer from the chain that puts all the others to shame. Well, thanks. Yeah, I had Culver's recently, actually. Every time I go out of town, I'm traveling in the Midwest, I always make it a point to, you know, take one of these exits and go to a Culver's nearby. You know, I went to Iowa earlier this year, stopped at Culver's on the way back. I was in Michigan the other week, stopped at a Culver's. I got a cheeseburger, cheese curds, and a pumpkin shake. Now, the pumpkin shake was probably a good idea in practice. It wasn't that great. I really love pumpkin, you know, but I saw the picture, and you know how it looks. The picture looks so good. Got like crumbled pumpkin bits, and like, oh, that looks good, you know? So I was like, oh, I'll get a pumpkin shake. I don't really love pumpkin. The combination with ice cream doesn't work. I should have just gotten chocolate. But, you know, so I got a cheeseburger, cheese curds. Nothing beats it. Hanging out in the Culver's parking lot on a rainy Sunday, chowing down on a cheeseburger made with the finest locally sourced cheese and other ingredients. Yeah, well, thanks. I will go tomorrow. Maybe. I don't want to say my whereabouts. People are trying to kill me, but we'll see. Alex says, okay, first of all, what the hell is a Holocaust? Secondly, all the people now smearing you are great replacement deniers. Wow, really masterful rhetoric there. Yeah, that'll really work. Ron Sun says, based Bolivian femoid dabs on... Okay, I'm not going to read that, because I don't know what it means. Shekelberg says, been seeing a lot of clown-costumed floozies appropriating our culture. Trolloping around on those infamous stairs in New York. Thoughts? I think it's horrible. I think it's disgusting. Women are not allowed to dress as Joker. Women who dress as Joker should be arrested. I completely understand now the appropriation thing, and I agree with it now. To see women adopting the clown makeup and going down the stairs doing the dance, I completely understand cultural appropriation. They are appropriating our suffering, our culture. It belongs to us. That movie was for us. Women cannot enjoy it. They should not enjoy it. And it should be illegal for them to enjoy it. So I don't think women should be allowed to see it, if you ask me. Armada says, I'm tired, Wabi. Okay, I don't know what this means. Sard says, be careful who you criticize, big guy. Wouldn't want to be lumped in with undesirables like Jesus, Shakespeare, Chaucer, Dickens, Eliot, Aurelius, Tacitus, Solzhenitsyn, Dostoevsky, Marx, Jung. Oh, I've never heard this before. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for the boilerplate 1.0 meme. 11th Hour says, hey, big guy, loving the show lately. Sometimes I Dutch oven my girlfriend when she says stupid things. Is this un-American? No, but it is simping. It is kind of a gross Batman-tier move to say, me and my girlfriend are quirky. What do you think about that, Nick? I think you're a simp. I think you're a bitch. How dare you come on the show and Batman around? How dare you come on the show and simp? How dare you come on the show and flex like that? Me and my girlfriend are so quirky and funny, though. Is that quirky and funny, Nick? No, it's not quirky, and it's not funny, and it's not cool, and I'm not even joking. You're a simp, enjoy your girlfriend, you know? So yeah, I'm gonna have to call that out. Have to call it out. Never be like, but am I quirky though? No, you're not quirky, and shut up. So yeah, don't you have my girlfriend touch on my girlfriend. Yeah, give me a break. Elevated Squirrel says, started watching your show about 3 weeks ago. I should have listened to Jacob Seals when he said to watch you 3 years ago. But better late than never. No more Daily Wire for me and the wife. Maybe Klavan, though. Yeah, Klavan's okay. But hey, glad you finally came. Better late than never, right? What else? Anti-Root says, Elijah, the left is so crazy we can now call classical liberals conservatives. Me, thanks, I hate it. Yeah. Right, you know, his video explaining conservatism. You did a great job, bro. Thanks, I hate it. Dean says, you should really show some respect for Teddy Spaghetti. What you need to understand is he has a very high IQ. He invented a video game called Hot Dish. Teddy Spaghetti crawled so we could run. I don't know, I have no idea what this meme means. Nobody's ever explained it to me. So, I honestly don't know what it means. But let's see. Bone says, Corinthians 4:19, but I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Very true. Yeah, very true. Thank you for that. And who holds all the power? Jesus, the big man. So thanks for that. Let's see. Mosimus says, saw an article on Drudge Report that called the Groypers followers of a 21-year-old YouTube flamethrower called Nicholas Fuentes. They even include your middle initial. Wow, you know, that might be slander in itself if they didn't include the full name. I don't know why you would mention that, thoughts. I don't really get the joke on that one. Let's see. Sam says, I'm dating a mild e-girl. Here we go again. But I'm slowly turning her into a trad girl. She said the other day that she would be willing to stay home to cook and clean for me. Is turning out e-girls trad possible, or am I dumb? So what you're saying is, I found an e-girl, but she's not like all the rest. She's different this time. I found an e-girl, but she's not like the other ones. She said she would cook and clean. She said something, high agreeability, to conform to my views. She said something, in other words, to be pleasing to me. That's so, wow, I guess e-girls are good now. You're telling me that an e-girl, in the spirit of being high agreeability and trying to please her her partner, she said something that maybe she didn't totally mean, or anything of value in itself? Wow, I guess e-girls are, you know, you can convert them. Look, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Oh no, when I said no e-girls never, I didn't mean this one time. When I said no e-girls never, ever, not even once. Never e-girls. When I said that, what I really meant was, well, but actually just once. What do you want to hear? What do you want to hear from me? What? Why would you ask that on this show? You came onto the wrong show with this, you know? Oh, well, my e-girl, I'm dating a mild e-girl. What does that mean? Mild e-girl? I don't think it's sort of a black and white thing. It's like, are you dead or are you not? There's no in-between. I'm dating a mild e-girl, but she seems cool. Oh, okay, good for you. But I, you know, my position, no e-girls. Maybe it works out for you. Maybe it works out. Sometimes it works out. But generally speaking, I advise if you can find a non-e-girl, that's the best course of action. But hey, you know, it's your life. I've heard a lot of stories where people learn the hard way, and you know, you can't come crying to me. So I hope it works out for you. I hope it works out. I hope she does cook and clean. Maybe she is the one that's different, but. You know, I just have my own. I've seen enough. I've seen enough. I've been around the block long enough in this internet space to tell you. Let's see. Suk says, just like how we should elect our politicians, we should only take in immigrants from people who are unwilling to migrate. If anyone is too eager to be in government or to migrate here, they're up to no good. Well, I don't know about that. I just think probably no immigrants, just a moratorium for a long time. David says, you tell him Nick Fuentes is coming, and I'm bringing God with me. You hear? God's coming with me. Based Tombstone reference. Very epic. Very Western-pilled. Let's see. Herschel with a big super chat. Thanks so much. He says, unironically, I know your time is valuable, but you should really check out John Mark's channel. He noticed you and has been saying very nice things about you and the Groypers. He's got real long-term solutions to all our problems. Okay, yeah, I haven't checked it out yet, but yeah, maybe I'll take a look at it. People have been, you know, pestering me about this for weeks and weeks, and I don't know who that is. And I've been, you know, on the phone and doing all these other things, and, you know, these things slip my mind. But yeah, maybe I'll take a look at it. Thanks for the big super chat. Harold says, I remember sending you a message asking if you ever felt like crust in a loaf of bread. Everyone touches you. Well, who's the most popular loaf of Italian bread now? Well done, Nick. Everyone touches you, but nobody wants you. Well, who's the most popular loaf of bread now? Well done, Nick. Yeah, it's true. I am pretty popular now. Yeah, everybody was proven wrong. What can I say? It's just like, I don't like that. It's kind of a stupid analogy. I prefer what Kanye West said in Last Call. He said, you know, was Kanye the most overlooked? Yes, sir. Now is Kanye the most overbooked? Yes, sir. That's me. That's me. Hello. Most overlooked. Now he's the most overbooked. What else does Kanye say? He says, some say he's arrogant. Can you blame him? It was straight embarrassing how y'all played him. He says, last year, shopping my demo, everyone tried to tell him he couldn't rhyme when he was trying to shine. He says, I can let these dream killers kill my self-esteem, or I can use my arrogance as esteem to power my dream. So that's yeah, it's more on that wave. Like, I see what you're saying, but we could do better than this, you know, crust of the bread. Give me a break. Kind of cringe. We can use based Kanye in this area. But yeah, it's true. Very true. Very true. Now everybody's been proven wrong. Let's see. Who else do we have? Beezer says, Nick, there are several fan accounts that clip your shows. It's buried, but there's quite a lot of stuff out there that if they have time to sit down and watch all the clips. Yeah, I guess that's possible. But I don't think it's likely. Avalon says, I've had some good burgers in my time. I love a good melted Swiss cheese and roasted mushrooms and caramelized onions on a burger. That is hot stuff, yeah. I agree. Wise Guy says, glad you had the wisdom and foresight to distance yourself from Owen Benjamin. That guy's cancer. I was wondering what your preferred way is to receive donations. Well, send me an email and I will let you know. Don't want to be too public about it because people are trying to deplatform me, obviously. So shoot me an email. And the thing is I didn't even distance myself. He attacked me for no reason at all. And I was like, oh, like, that's stupid. Okay, I want nothing to do with you. I never liked you to begin with. But if you attack me, that gives me an out. You know, and now it's just gotten so bad. It's just gotten so horrible, the things he says. But the guy's just sort of a sad and pathetic guy. I honestly just feel bad for him. Let's see. Truth Seekers is Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Exactly right. You know, Charlie Kirk would be wise to discover this. Garlic Lover says, I wish Ann Coulter would have come out in support of the Groypers, but it's coup. She coup. Yeah, it would be nice. Look, all I'm saying is it would be nice. I'm just saying, I love Ann Coulter. I respect her. It would be nice. You know, we've been saying a lot of the same things she's been saying for years, and I don't know what her situation is. You know, I don't know all the facts, right? I don't know her personally, but she throws a couple of retweets to Columbia Bugle. That's it. You know, no likes and retweets my way. No, and it's not even about me, but no likes and retweets about some of these other accounts or anything else that's going on. No explicit support. Don't want to name us. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. She coo. But it's like, yeah, if we could get Coulter on board with us, that would be nice. That would be nice. But, you know, I'm 21 years old. I'm taking a lot of the heat. I'll keep taking the heat. You know, all the college kids will keep taking the heat. And, you know, but that's okay. So, let's see. I don't want that to come off as passive aggressive. I love Ann Coulter. I think she's the queen. I love her. It would be nice if she would support us. We would welcome that. That would be great. But if she can't, I don't know. I don't know where her situation is. Maybe she's in a predicament where she can't do it right now. I'm very understanding. Jason says, I first discovered you in 2017 on Lauren Southern's live stream where you told the trans, if you were in charge, she'd have to go see a doctor. But a fan ever since. Keep up the good work, big guy. Well, thanks. Yeah, that was a good moment. And what I mean, she was like, oh, you mean you would send me to conversion therapy? It's like, no, I meant like a therapist, like a psychiatrist, you know? But that got lost in the shuffle. But, I mean, that would be, you know, perhaps acceptable too. Bobby Gray says, after seeing the cookie clip, I really have to disavow all anti-Semitism. On the other hand, I have to bake 6 million cupcakes in a given amount of time. Okay, so you're going to try and get me in trouble again. Thanks. Let's see, what else? Big Money Wager, the big super chat. Thank you so much. He says, pee-poo. This guy must be like a millionaire or a billionaire, the way he's throwing shekels out for me. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. RA says, LMAO, you get this show for free, lads. Let that sink in. It's true, it's all free. But thanks for your big super chats. Free content. Free content. No advertisers. Yeah, it's literally free because no advertisers subsidize this, no donors. It's just people that watch the show throw tips my way, and I do the show for free. It's very true. Let's see, what else do we have? Where did I leave off here? What else? No. We've got some Wignats in chat. Very funny to see the Wignats in chat. Very funny. They do not trust the plan. Garlic Lover says, no, I've never heard of Human Events. Who's that? Yeah. Cheesehead says, instead of spending the evening talking about America First, now you're caught up in the minutia of irrelevant articles. This is what they want. Okay, shut up, retard. Please don't try to counter-signal. I know the plan. So instead of talking about impeachment, we're talking about gatekeepers. Yeah, that's kind of more relevant, dumb idiot. This guy's terrible. Every super chat from Cheesehead is a joke. So, you change your username. You have no right. I'm Cheesehead69. You're an idiot, all right? You're cringe. Based on this super chat. I was watching Alex Jones' show today, and I felt so bad when I was on the... Well, it was the War Room with Owen Schroyer, but when I was on the show with him, he had a caller, and he was so nice to the caller. He was like, oh, you're so smart. You're amazing. We got to have you on the show again. You're the best. We've had you on hold for 3 hours, and oh, you're the greatest. And I'm watching that just like cracking up because my super chat has come on this show. And I'm like, shut up. You're an idiot. I hate you. You know, just straight up antagonize. Well, people antagonize me. I give them a hard time back. But I was watching that. I was laughing. It's like, well, you know, boomers are nice. Say what you will, but they are. But they are nice to their callers, right? So now I'm not saying Alex Jones is a boomer, but you know what I mean. It's sort of a different style, different format. Generation Z, very, very mean, very nasty, very quick. Quick to, you know, attack. But anyway, so I saw that. The contrast couldn't have been greater. George Mountain says, am I wasting my time with Twitch Prime? Do you ever get paid for that? Or am I wasting my time? Any chance you jump back on Train's podcast or maybe one of the other podcasts on Twitch? I don't use Twitch anymore. So, yeah, I wouldn't subscribe to me on Twitch Prime. I only have like 2 subscriptions on there because I don't use it anymore. Subscribe to me on DLive if you want to do a subscription. And the only reason I keep my Twitch channel is so that I can still appear on other Twitch streams. And yeah, I may, but it's not really up to me. Join Trainwrecks again. Let's see. Mario says, Ian Miles Chung, the guy who goes on streams with Eric Stryker and doesn't give crap for his views, but gives Nick grief over a cookie super chat. Exactly. And that just goes to show what a lie it is. What a joke. Mr. Deus Vault says, you had some fairly positive coverage on the Barrett Brief on Crusade Channel. Today he said he'd bring you on a show for an interview if you emailed him. I don't know who Barrett Brief is. I like how he wants me on a show. I have to email him to be on the show. I got to appear on the show for free and I have to ask. It's like, if he wants me on a show, he should email me. So I don't know what that is, but if he wants me on, you know, he can shoot me an email and I'll jump aboard. That's how it works for me. I have to send people, well, people do ask to come on my show, and I don't want them to come on my show, but I just find that funny. I'm Italian. When I was being raised, it was very bad, very impolite to invite oneself over to somebody else's house for a play date, you know? So that's always the way I think about it. So I'm not, I got an email. Hi, can I come on your show? It's like, I don't know about that. But let's see. Alcibiades says, I did grab a deep dish while in Chicago. It had pepperoni, olive, sausage, and even spinach. Hot stuff. I'm glad you got that taken care of. I know I sent a couple recommendations your way. Studio says, sorry for being one of these, but I have a new piece ready to be posted tonight. Sent it to you on Twitter. Just want your blessing before posting, given everything going on. Thanks, big guy. My nose is itching today. I think it's my allergies. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I'll check it out, big guy. Just tag me. DM it to me, whatever. I'll look at it. I'll give you the green light. But thanks. ASDF says, Nick, I cringe super chatted on Friday with bad abbreviations, and I apologize. You berated me, but I liked it. By the way, how to red pill libertarian super chat was a joke. Okay, well, you didn't specify, but thanks for the apology. It's these allergies. I know it's not like a seasonal allergy. It's my dog. My dog, who I'm allergic to, lives in my house. And I touch him or pet him too much, and then my allergies get out of control, and I get congested. So I do apologize for that. People are saying, people look at them, they're like, oh, he's on cocaine. He's itching his nose. He's on cocaine. You don't itch your nose when you're on cocaine, by the way. That's not a symptom of being on cocaine. So I just have to address that because it's like literally every little thing I do, get scrutinized and there's conspiracy theories, you know, I take a picture of somebody, somebody I know is in a picture of somebody, you know, I scratch my nose, I say a certain thing, oh, well, let's read into it, so... I just have to say, you know, for... And now that we have a big audience, people are going to say, oh, well, that means... So, Henry Yates with two big super chats. Thank you so much. But no message. Well, hey, those are the best ones. Thanks. Let's see. Dan Crenshaw's lost eyeballs. His groypers at the Knowles event got choked hard. Totally unprepared. Okay, well, the good thing is we don't take ownership over those. Remember, we said the groyper war phase one ended last week. So, I said that for a reason. Groyper Wars ended last week, so, you know, I said if we have more, then it's good, but if not, then it's, we're not really responsible for that, so. Let's see, Names says, wow, thanks for the big $1,000 super chat. Wow, a whole $500 super chat. I can't believe you just posted a $250 super chat. You can even afford the $100, please, a whole 50? 10 bucks? Wow, thanks. $5 super chat. Okay, well, thank you for the $10 super chat. I don't know what all that was about, but thanks for the $10 super chat. Theodore says, on December 1st, 2019, we will go into Five Guys and ask for a burger with melted Swiss cheese, roasted mushrooms, and caramelized onion. It is hot stuff, and the look on the worker's face will be awesome. We should honestly do that. One of these days, maybe we should do it on December 1st. I just feel like there's so much going on right now, it's not a great time for that as a meme, but I'm down to do it one of these days. Twilight says, super chat, don't take this out of context. Okay, I don't want to. If it's one of these, I don't want to read it. Okay, yeah, thanks for that, but I'm not really interested in this right now. Send the super chat again in like a month when it's a different climate. But thanks for the big super chat. Let's see, Ronald or Rolled Dahl with a big super chat. Thanks so much. And it looks like that's the last one. I didn't read anything that was less than 10, only because we want to look. I can't keep doing shows that are 3 hours. So we've been on the air for 2 hours. I think it's good to cut it. 2 hours is a good runtime. An hour of content, an hour of super chats. But thanks for the super chats. Much appreciated. We'll have to see how it works. I'm trying to navigate. You know, maybe next time we'll read some more $5 ones. But, you know, yesterday, or rather on Friday, was like over 3 hours, but like we can't do that anymore. So I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to go insane. So thanks so much to everybody that super chatted. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks everybody who's watching the show. We love you folks. Thanks to all the groypers, everybody involved. Thanks to the super chatters. We love you. And we'll see you tomorrow. I'll be in InfoWars at 1 p.m. Of course, the show's tomorrow as well. So we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.